The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Here we are, Thursday, March 21st. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, an employee of a bar in Germantown was shot to death by a patron in the early morning robbery on Thursday. The incident happened at 2:15 at the Del Mar Bar and Lounge on the 300 block of West Shelton Avenue. Police said the suspect was inside the bar at closing when he robbed them. The suspect, who was said to be in his 20s or 30s, had been sitting at the bar like a regular customer. At closing, when the other customers left, he then announced the robbery. According to investigators, the victim, 54-year-old barback, was shot in the chest once. When police arrived, the victim was found lying inside the bar by the door. He was taken to Einstein Medical Center, where he was pronounced dead.
Jeez.
So sad. The suspect ran from the scene with a couple $100s. There was surveillance cameras at the bar, both inside and outside other businesses. Along the road had cameras as well. So police are currently reviewing surveillance video, and then they're asking the businesses for their videos as well. So hopefully, it'll be pretty easy for them to find this person. Anyone with information still is asked to contact police. The driver, who Coatesville police say was involved in a fatal crash on Wednesday morning, is facing vehicular homicide charges. The crash happened yesterday morning. I reported it all morning long. Business 30 in Coatesville was closed because of the accident. Police said a black Kia Optima was traveling southbound on North 8th Avenue, proceeding through the intersection when the car struck a black Chevy Monte Carlo that was traveling east on East Lincoln Highway, which is Business 30. The driver of the Monte Carlo was taken from the scene of the accident to Brandywine Hospital, where she was pronounced dead. Police identified the driver that was killed. That driver was killed. That was 45-year-old Monica Fiorentino McGibney of Coatesville. Family members say she had just gotten married 2 months ago.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so sad. The driver of the Optima, a 22-year-old Tyree Mansell of Coatesville, was taken into custody. Police say he was driving with a suspended license and failed to stop at a red light. He is facing a slew of charges, including homicide by vehicle. The deadly incident closed Route 30 in both directions for most of yesterday morning. The roadway reopened around 10 a.m. and the accident is still under investigation. No one won the jackpot in last night's Powerball drawing. Overnight, the Powerball jackpot sprung to $625 million. Yes, which means we all have another chance to try to win. This is now the fourth largest Powerball jackpot in history and the seventh largest prize of any game played in the United States.
I did hit the Powerball, though, again last night. So that's
you're on a streak,
two times,
man.
Two in a row. And last night,
it's,
man,
not that much more to get the additional numbers.
Yeah, you get $4,
$4,
I think. Okay. Yeah, because that's what I got when I cashed in my Powerball yesterday to play this one.
And what does the place get? Where you bought it from?
$0.10.
Yeah,
10 cents,
so you get $4 and they get $0.10.
But this one felt especially good because I picked all my numbers and they were like, "Well, what is your Powerball?" And it was like 21. And then that's the one.
Boom!
I was like, booyah!
You've got the gift.
You've got the gift. It felt good, man.
Now go pick all the other numbers.
Yes. Buy the lottery tickets for us.
We should send Casey down to buy the lottery tickets.
He's in the zone,
he's
Kathy.
He's our lucky charm.
Well, I think, Preston, you got it once, too, didn't you?
I did last week.
Maybe you two should caucus.
Well, I'm a little bit upset because the numbers that I picked yesterday was my family's numbers. Had I picked the family that I grew up with numbers, I would have had two numbers in a Powerball.
Listen,
which would have been like $10.
Don't need to know the voodoo. We just need to know that you're on a streak.
Wait, what's the difference between your family and the family you grew up with?
My family now.
That's such a Preston question.
My wife and kids.
It's not completely logical.
Yeah.
He means his immediate family.
Yeah.
You mean your nuclear family.
Okay, Preston, my nuclear family.
Well, I didn't know what you meant, the one that grew up. I mean, I didn't know what you meant. I'm sorry. I have a little bit of a migraine. I don't understand.
All right.
Get off my goddamn back.
We didn't even win yet.
Yeah, I know.
Fighting.
That's it, man. Now you're only getting 5% of my winnings.
The next drawing is Saturday night, but still check your tickets from Wednesday night's drawing. You may have matched some of the numbers. They were 10, 14, 50, 53, 63. Like Casey said, the Powerball was 21 and the Power Play was 2. The last big win was back on December 26, 2018, when a truck driver from Brooklyn took home more than $298.3 million. His win marked the third consecutive Powerball jackpot win by a New Yorker in 2018. The biggest all all-time lottery jackpot was a $1.5863 billion Powerball prize in 2016. Powerball is played in 44 states. The odds of winning the Powerball jackpot are 1 in 292 million.
So, I never play, and yet I get excited when the number starts to ascend. And will it break the record? It's still pretty cool.
The winning numbers for Saturday's drawing were 30, 34, 39, 53, 67, and the Powerball of 11. So the next drawing is this Saturday. So get your tickets. In sports this morning.
Sacks are yummy.
The Sixers beat the Boston Celtics 118 to 115 last night in South Bend. Joel Embiid had 37 points, 22 rebounds, and a key block on Kyrie Irving with 35 seconds remaining. And Jimmy Butler scored 15 of his 22 points in the fourth quarter. To lead the Sixers to their sixth straight win. A turning point came early in the second half when tempers flared. Marcus Smart took objection to Embiid sticking his left elbow out, and with Embiid's back turned, Smart gave him a two-handed shove that sent Embiid falling towards the court. An angry Embiid got up and went after Smart. No punches were thrown, and both players were restrained. After an official's review, Smart was ejected from the game for a flagrant two foul. The Sixers, who are still in third place in the Eastern Conference, are off until Saturday when they'll travel to Atlanta to play the Hawks. The Flyers will look to keep their playoff hopes alive tonight when they travel to Chicago to play the Blackhawks. With only 9 games remaining in the regular season, the Flyers are on the outside looking in, 5 points behind Montreal and 6 points behind the Columbus Blue Jackets. Game time tonight is at 8:30. Villanova will look to repeat as champs and begin their pursuit to a potential third NCAA tournament title in 4 years. The 6-seed Wildcats, who won the Big East and finished the season at 25-9, will square off against 11th-seeded St. Mary tonight in a South Region matchup in Hartford, Connecticut. Tip-off is scheduled for 7:20. And former right fielder Bobby Abreu has been selected as this year's inductee to the Phillies Hall of Fame. Abreu, who played for the Phillies from 1998 to 2006, will be honored before the game against the White Sox on Saturday, August 3rd, as part of Alumni Weekend. And for the first time in 8 years, the Phils are on the cover of the Sports Illustrated. 4 new-look Phillies, as quoted by the magazine, are posing with the words, "Loved in Philly, feared everywhere else." The 4 players featured are Bryce Harper posing with teammates Aaron Nola, Rhys Hoskins, and JT Realmuto. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Bobby Abreu is another one of those names that you'd love to hear Harry Callis say.
I was walking around the house all day yesterday doing that.
No kidding.
Yeah, just because it's a great way to... Mickey Morandini's
the artist. Yeah. All right. Well, good morning and welcome. Today is a Thursday morning. We do have some things set for you. We're going to talk to... We spent a decent amount chatting about... decent amount of time chatting about this yesterday, but Fran Dunphy retiring as the head coach of Temple men's basketball.
Yeah.
We have him on the program.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we'll talk to him in the 8 o'clock hour. And we also have the co-captain of the Sons of Ben from, of course, the Philadelphia Union, the fanatical fans. And his name is Adam Booth, and he's stopping by today, and he's got something he's going to bestow upon us.
Really?
So we'll have that coming up later on. Now, in yesterday's program, a little later than it was at this time yesterday, we made an announcement, so I need to bring you early risers up to speed on what we are kicking off today. And it's a chance for you to help us out. Of course, big basketball tourney that's going on right now, so we're kind of piggybacking on board. And we are bringing you Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness. And this is your chance to... Now, our Daily Rush, for those who may not be familiar, are video segments that we post up online. And they're just things that happen on the show. Moments, segments, whatever, interviews.
Absolutely.
Musical performances. And the amazing video crew that we have here, Nick Murphy and company, put together these great videos. We post them online for you to get a peek into the studio. And some of them we think are kind of entertaining.
Well, in many ways, they end up being sort of highlight reels of the show's past. And there's a ton of them.
So we've taken 64 of them, and we are matching them. We've actually seeded them, and we have them going head-to-head against each other every single hour for the next 3 weeks.
Yes.
I don't know if you know this, Preston. Uh-huh. You're wearing Death is Whack, which is a reference to the show. Yes. Yep. And that kicks off the big event today.
It kicks off the big event
today. Well, this, we're almost taking a walk down memory lane with the Daily Rush videos.
Yes, exactly. So what we're going to need is your help in determining what the best video is among the 64 that we've chosen. And we have them segmented into different regions, not unlike, a tournament that you've seen from time to time. So our regions are called the Gadzooks region, the Anyway region, the Privilege region,
Anyway,
and the Hey Bitches region.
Love it.
So
there are
four separate regions. So if you guys are set to go,
yes, please,
let's fire this thing up. Here we go.
It's time for Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness.
All right, so we're going to take two videos, we're going to put them head-to-head, and you are going to vote on them, and you do it through PrestonandSteve.com, or you can go to WMMR.com, both take you to the same place, and you'll see the Daily Rush Madness link. It's real quick, you just click on it, and right there are links to the videos themselves. You can watch the videos if you like. If you've already seen them, then you know what they are, and you can go ahead and just vote.
Yeah, however you want to play it.
Let us know what you think is best. And you can vote through the course of the day. So we will have our results tomorrow of who won what matchups. And we're just kind of highlighting them as we go through every hour. So the first two matchups we have, number one and seeded number one is Preston and Steve try Surströmming.
Wow.
So let me play just a little clip of that to remind you. We'll play short segments of it just to remind you what it was all about. So here we go. I'm going to start to open this.
All right.
All right, here we go. I'm doing it slowly so it doesn't explode. Okay. All right.
Oh, God!
It's spraying everywhere.
Oh, God!
Did it get on the floor?
No, but it's like a Viking, an excited
behind
Viking.
Behind you.
Are you going to throw up?
Oh,
he's
my God.
Gagging. He's gagging.
Have you guys breathed in yet?
Oh!
Yes. I can't do this.
Thank God I can't smell it.
This is the worst thing ever.
I watched that last night. I'm lurching. It was just so nasty.
I believe at one point I opened the can a bit, and it's like a bad porn movie sprayed on Nick's face. Yep.
All right, and that will be facing off against Bill Weston, Two-Face, which is seated 16th. And this is when Bill had went to the dentist, and he had some Novocaine, and half his face didn't work. And we just busted his chops the whole time. Here's a quick clip.
Hey, can you do this?
No. No, I can't, obviously.
And his face, I mean, half of it is paralyzed. Yeah. It's so funny. He tries to smile. We had some fun with it. So you can now vote on that. So check this out at WMMR.com. It is Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness that begins today. So that's the first one, first matchup we're going to highlight, and we'll do one every single hour. Let's take a break. We'll come back in a second. We'll get into the entertainment report as well as a stupid question. Stay with us this morning, gang.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Diamond jewelry doesn't have to be expensive. Have fun buying jewelry for someone you love and don't hate the price you pay. Feel the difference online at IHateStevenSinger.com with free shipping or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters. Why take a chance with anybody else?
Taking time for yourself isn't selfish, it's self-care. Schedule a massage or facial at your local Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa with a relaxing massage or refreshing facial for just $59.95 for first-time guests. Visit one of their 50 area locations or handandstone.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Ghost on 93.3 WMMR.
Rats.
6:34, President Steve Show. And it begins. We are doing Daily Rush Madness. Our videos, we're matching them up, battling against each other. You vote. And our first matchup, we're going to do one every hour until we find a winner all the way down to one remaining video. And the first videos that are up against each other are Preston and Steve try Surstroming against Bill Weston's Two-Face.
Strong competitors, man.
We have the videos and the voting enabled on PrestonandSteve.com. It's very, very simple to do. You click on the Daily Rush Madness, and it'll take you to all the videos that are matching up against each other today, and you can vote on them. And the videos, if you need to rewatch them, are right there. It's very, very simple. So go ahead and vote now, and then next hour we'll reveal which ones are going up against each other. Should be fun. Let's take a look at traffic, see what's up. And Kathy, what do you have for us?
We've got a problem on SEPTA's regional rail line. The Paley-Thorndale line suspended service between Thorndale and Malvern, and that is because of a broken Amtrak rail. So service is operating between Malvern and Center City. Also, the Wilmington line, they have an adjusted schedule, and that's because of track work. Will be through tomorrow. On the roadway, Schuylkill Expressway westbound is slowing from University to South Street. It's then heavy from City to Belmont. Slow again out near Conshohocken, and eastbound, starting to back up from the Blue Route to Conshohocken, Gladwin into Belmont, Montgomery to Spring Garden, 95 southbound. That's jammed from Cotman through to Girard. Once you get to the Vine westbound, it's slow 8th to Broad, the Ben Franklin Parkway to the Schuylkill. North on 95, slowing from Highland Ave to 320. The Boulevard southbound slows Ridge Avenue to the Schuylkill Expressway and 422 eastbound. We have volume building from 29 to 23. 42 freeway northbound slows the Black Horse Pike to 295. Heavy 55 northbound from Deptford to 42. This traffic report brought to you by Wawa. Wawa hoagies keep getting better now with more savory meat in every delicious bite. For a limited time, you can enjoy a Wawa Classic hoagie for $4.99. Come and taste the difference. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
What the f***?
All right, we got a chance for you to win this morning pair of tickets to see Dane Cook at the Met on Saturday, March 30th with our stupid question. And that question is, who was named Time Magazine's Man of the Century in 1999? Yep, 215-263-WMMR. They always do Man of the Year, but in 1999 they did Man of the Century. Who was that?
That's a twister. Yeah.
215-263-WMMR. Call now. I'll go through some birthdays today, Thursday, March 21st. Derek Whibley, who was the frontman for Sum 41, was married to Avril Lavigne for a little while and damn near died from alcoholism.
Man, was he right about to die. Yep. It was so critical and brought it back, thankfully.
Yep. He managed to turn it around. So
seems like a likable guy.
He's doing a lot better today. He is 39 years old. Another birthday of someone who is much less famous than their wife. Or former wife, I should say. Kevin Federline.
Do we have Popo Zhao?
Well, we have...
His masterpiece?
Well, we have this.
See.
Oh, yeah, this was Casey's response to Popo Zhao, which Kevin Federline tried to have a musical career.
Oh, it works, man.
I love chili. And then carne or con queso. I'm crashing tu cabeza. Taco, taco, taco. That's Spanish for taco. Burrito.
Casey, what was the name of this?
Espanol is Spanish for Spanish.
Yes. So Kevin Federline, dancer, rapper, former husband of Britney Spears, is 41 today.
Just had a legal victory, given a little bit more money to for child care.
Oh, he was given money from
That's my
Britney?
Understanding. Okay. Though I think she has the predominant custody deal in that case. I always, because I follow her on Instagram, the kids are always with her in Vegas.
Okay. 41 today. Then you have the great Matthew Broderick.
Yes.
He's been in a gazillion movies over the years.
This in particular, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, the legend and the making of and all that. I'm fascinated with this movie.
Yeah.
And he was, what, 29 when they did this?
Something like that.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep. So many good movies, this. And before that was War Games. And
another great movie.
One of my favorites is The Freshman. And another one of my favorites is Election. I haven't watched that in ages.
Casey plays the exact kind of character that makes you nervous. The guy who always makes the wrong call.
Yep.
And it's just, nothing goes right.
Married to Sarah Jessica Parker. Still. Yep. 57 years old today. Rosie O'Donnell's birthday as well today.
Wow.
Rosie recently revealing that her dad had sexually assaulted her when she was a kid. So it's pretty nasty stuff. She had always said that he was not a good influence at all on her, but she was revealed even more dark times.
Yeah, I didn't know it was that bad.
Yeah. She's 57. The great Gary Oldman has his birthday today.
How many, you know, look at the roles. Look at the incredible diversity from Winston Churchill to Sid and Nancy.
And I have not watched Darkest Hour. Did you guys see it?
I did, yes.
Good?
Really good. Okay. In place, I mean, listen, I had come into that seeing John Lithgow's incredible performance as Winston Churchill. But, you know, well, he did a great job, Gary Oldman.
He just doesn't, I mean, he absorbs into the character so well. Like,
and a guy who could be so incredibly, like in The Professional, he's just a maniacal, evil person. And yet in the Batman movies, he's a great Commissioner Gordon.
Yep, Sirius Black in the Harry Potter movies. Just a slew of great roles. He's 61. And the last birthday I saw is Timothy Dalton. Timothy Dalton is, he's 72 years old today.
I think a very overlooked James Bond. He was necessary in the Bond cycle. Mm-hmm. He brought the movies back from the really cartoonish. The Roger Moore films had gotten a little way off the tracks. Right. Not a little, way off the tracks. And Year of the Living Daylights and License to Kill are two great Bond movies.
So he turns 72 today. So happy birthday to Timothy Dalton. We'll see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Who was Time Magazine's Man of the Century in 1999? 215-263 WMMR. I'm going to go to Harry. Hey, Harry. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Harry. Who was Time Magazine's Man of the Century in 1999?
Is that Mr. Albert Einstein?
It is. Ah. Yes, exactly. Hang on a second, Harry. We're going to get your information, and we are going to set you up with a pair of tickets to see Dane Cook at the Met, and that is on Saturday, March 30th. Some tickets remain at Ticketmaster.com, so congratulations, Harry. Why is that not playing?
What the hell?
Hang on a second.
Harry!
There we go.
We were just talking about Albert Einstein last night.
Harry!
Were you? Not? Yeah, and, you know, the rumor is that he slept maybe like an hour, 2 hours a night.
Yeah.
Like, he just did not sleep at all.
His brain didn't let him
sleep,
maybe.
Yeah.
He also, like, his closet was the same clothes.
Same clothes, They copied that. You remember the remake of The Fly? Jeff Goldblum has the same sort of situation in his closet, the same suit.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's, you know, he pared all that stuff out of his life, all those decisions.
Interesting guy. Man of the century. All right, so let's get into some of the entertainment stories. New Jersey Senator Cory Booker appeared on the Ellen DeGeneres Show yesterday and spoke effusively about his girlfriend, Daredevil star Rosario Dawson.
Yeah.
A few days ago, Dawson confirmed her relationship with him. He is a presidential hopeful. He said her confirmation was wonderful. She's just an incredible human being. He went on to say, as our relationship, he was asked about the relationship.
Right.
He says, as our relationship grows, it's difficult, but she's just a deeply soulful person and has taught me a lot of lessons about love already.
What about her huge freaking hooters, huh?
Those are nice as well. And sometimes you show the greatest strength when you make yourself vulnerable.
He's right.
She really has this nurturing spirit that has made me more courageous.
About her huge freaking hooters, huh?
Not just in love that I project and want to see in our country, but even in our personal relationship to love more fearlessly. So I'm very blessed to be with someone who makes me a better person.
He's really about the living and the loving and the loving and the living of life.
And loving and living of life, yes. Booker also jokes with DeGeneres that if he gets into marriage territory with Dawson while running for president, he'll save the wedding for the White House if he's also successful in his bid for the higher office. They have been dating since at least December, so they're officially a couple.
Would that be the first wedding?
Yeah.
To take place in the... Yes, it would have to be historically, right?
I believe so. There have
been... with a sitting president.
There have been presidents who got married during their term.
Yes.
Woodrow Wilson was one of them, and I don't remember who the other one is. But anyhow, I don't know if they had one at the...
Benjamin Franklin, of course, the great president Benjamin Franklin.
Was it Buchanan?
He was a bachelor.
Okay,
he's
a bachelor. Also, you know, Preston, a bachelor.
Yeah.
You know, early grinder, let's just say that,
All right. So anyhow, maybe if they were to do it at the White House, that probably would be the first.
Pull out all the stops.
So Paris Jackson is slamming reports that she attempted suicide over the weekend. She also claimed that she's getting unfair criticism for her, quote, mellow response to allegations of sexual abuse made against Michael Jackson in Leaving Neverland.
I honestly think they should lay off her.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it was her father. It's quite a predicament. And if she's dealing with stuff, or if she believes a part of her believes it was going on, and this is a bit of a revelation, or however she feels, she's not Michael Jackson. Leave her alone.
The 20-year-old model tweeted, they didn't get the crazy reaction they wanted from the doc, and a chill, mellow reaction doesn't sell stories, so why not lie and create a story that does sell? Pathetic, she said. Previously, Paris responded to a TMZ report that she was placed on a 5150 hold and was hospitalized after attempted suicide on Saturday. She tweeted, F you, you effing liars.
Are those medical terms?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, on Tuesday night, Paris was seen out and about with her boyfriend, Gabriel Glenn, on her way to check out Macaulay Culkin's Bunny Ears podcast with special guest Weird Al Yankovic in L.A.
I miss that little kid.
Yeah. in L.A., Michael and Paris are longtime friends, and he is also her godfather, Macaulay. I don't know why it says Michael.
This service stinks.
All right, so.
Do they know how revered you are in the world of entertainment reporting?
They're sullying my credibility.
Absolutely.
On a daily basis.
Do you remember Rona Barrett, Preston, the entertainment? That's you.
Yep.
You're a Rona Barrett of our time.
Did Michael bear a grudge against Weird Al for fat?
If and hate his guts.
That is a good question.
Actually, the one that did it was bad.
That's what I said. Fat.
Yeah, fat.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
I think he. Yeah,
that was the rumor. But he eventually, though, I understand, made nice. Whereas Prince never did.
Okay.
And Coolio was never thrilled about. The gang.
What Prince song was done by Weird Al Yankovic? I don't remember.
Was it When Doves Cry?
I think it was Raspberry Parfait.
Oh, Raspberry.
Seriously?
I don't know.
Or are you making that up?
Hang on a second. I think that's a song that we made up when we were at camp. Never mind.
It shows you. I love Weird Al, but you can see how easy it is to do it. You know?
I
love Rocky Road.
Raspberry Parfait. Do you remember any of the lyrics besides
no.
that?
Oh. No. I mean, honestly, well, I was in fifth grade. Raspberry Parfait. Nope. Don't remember anything else.
Okay. All right.
Well,
if you think Prince. Prince turned down 4 parody ideas from Weird Al, so maybe he just never even gave him the rights to do so. Okay.
He did a couple of Michael songs because he did Eat It,
right.
Was the first one, which was really successful. And Fat, I thought, was hilarious.
And the video.
The video
which was a meticulous,
phenomenal.
As he was always doing at that time, meticulous recreation with him in that fat suit.
You ain't fat. You ain't nothing. You ain't nothing. He made that grimace look on his face like Michael did in the video. Oh, my God. That was so good. All right, moving on. In another sign that Kate Beckinsale and Pete Davidson are seriously into each other, Kate introduced Pete to her mom, Judy Lowe.
This is Pete. Let's go.
They went out to dinner and marked both the celebratory introduction but also the sad 40th anniversary of Beckinsale's father's death. They dined at Nobu, along with Beckinsale's stepfather, Roy Battersby. Davidson was seen driving with Beckinsale sitting shotgun and her mom and Battersby riding in the back of Davidson's Range Rover.
His name is Battersby. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah,
great to be here at Nobu.
That's the stepfather, Roy Battersby.
Battersby.
Earlier in the day, she paid tribute to her father, Richard Beckinsale, who had died suddenly at the age of 31, so he was young when he passed. She wrote on social media, 40 years is a lot of missing. Thank you so much to everyone who has been kind. Lots of love. Davidson's father also died when he's a child. I didn't know that.
9/11.
That may be part of... Oh, really? So I guess, he would have been
firefighter, he was a kid.
The pair were spotted together at the Golden Globes in January and have been spotted out and about several times since then.
That has to be something that draws people together. A shared experience, losing a parent earlier.
Yeah.
You know, it really does. I was 21 when my mom passed away. I was
still young, man.
But still, you know, you, like, when you're a kid, like Rosie O'Donnell, she lost her mother when she was five. You know, it's got to have a big impact.
Yep, I would imagine. Hey, Felicity Huffman and William H. Macy are among the 40-plus people involved in the sweeping college admissions scandal, though Huffman was charged and Macy was not. A source tells ET that Huffman and Macy, who have been married since 1997 and also share 16-year-old daughter Georgia together, are struggling under the strain.
Oh, you would imagine.
This, according to a source, though, they said the situation has been very trying on Felicity and William's marriage.
The idiot had to go to college, right?
Love each other, but they've been arguing a lot. Felicity and William have an incredibly strong marriage, but the situation has put a tremendous amount of pressure on them.
I told you she's a moron!
Their close friends were stunned by the news because they always seemed like a honest, good people. People who would never lie and cheat to get what they wanted. They almost seemed to pride themselves on their honesty.
All the job offers that she had, all the things she was kind of participating in at the time, have gone away.
I believe
so. Actually, the fact that Bill Macy is not connected to this, it doesn't seem to be tarnished by this. So, yeah. And that's going to be vital because, you know, I don't know how well off they are. I assume they have some money in the bank.
Yeah, I think they're doing okay.
But still, you know, but she's been shut down.
All right, this is going to sound weird, but $15,000, which is what she allegedly paid off, that doesn't sound like that much.
That's really, when you consider Lori Loughlin's $500,000.
Right.
Well, if you look at the article that Kathy sent over yesterday to us, it was going through the groups, the families who were also part of this investigation, and who they are and what they paid and what they supposedly know and what happened.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who paid well into the six figures, and a lot of these are CEOs of hedge funds.
Oh, yeah. Law firms.
Boss investment brokers and things like that who have a lot of disposable money. And the stories that were relayed in that article, Kathy,
it breaks everything down.
It was like straight up the kids, it breaks down to which kids probably knew mm-hmm. that their parents were doing this, and the situations when they sat down to take their SATs or ACTs, and doctors
who was
spoon feeding them the information and stuff. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, it is.
So there are a lot of people that were doing this.
But what started this whole thing?
Good question. How did this story break?
Is this multiple states, by the way, or is this all in California?
No, there's a guy in Houston who was like part of the kind of running it.
He was the ringleader, right?
One of them.
Yeah. I believe the FBI had received a tip off about the USC.
Yeah, because
campus.
I know that in that article you sent, it was so lengthy. I only read the first five scenarios. But they were all USC in those first few stories. So. You know, maybe they started there. I'm not really sure.
Oh, the college, you mean?
Yeah.
So maybe, I don't know, maybe they were all at that college, but there was one of the guys who was involved in, the cheating, basically, was out of Houston. He was a teacher in Houston. Okay.
Yeah, so there were multi-levels of this. There was the guy who was brokering the deals to say, I could help basically usher your kid to the school that you want. And then there were the people who were involved in making sure that they were providing the SAT answers, the proctors, the coaches that were bought off.
Yeah.
It's a multi-pronged investigation. Mm-hmm. I love the name, though, Varsity Blues.
Yep, yeah. Project Varsity Blues. Meanwhile, a judge approved a request to delay Huffman's next court appearance in Boston. She was slated to appear beside fellow celeb Lori Loughlin and other parents implicated, but as her lawyer is scheduled to be out of town, she's going to appear on April 3rd. Meanwhile, Loughlin believed, quote, her heart was in the right place when she arranged for her daughters to get into USC, according to Us Weekly.
You know, the funny thing here, Preston, is that with Lori Loughlin, her daughter was about to complete pretend pre-law.
Oh, really?
Could have defended her in court.
What does this say over here, Nick?
It's a great. We may have mentioned it, but I don't know if we ever gave the actual quote of what Vanderbeek said. James Vanderbeek said when the news of what the scandal was called was.
Yeah, because he was in Varsity Blues.
Yeah.
It says, if only there was a succinct turn of phrase these kids could have used to inform their parents they were not desirous of their life path, meaning I don't want your life.
Exactly.
Is that what that is?
It's exactly.
That's great.
Yeah.
That was from the trailer of the movie. It was a big line in the movie. I don't want your life. Nice. By the way, the source said Lori Loughlin is a great mom who is completely into her kids and family life. She lives and breathes for her husband and children. Her intentions were pure.
And I'm sure they were.
I'm sure they were when she spent $500,000 to get her into USC.
You just sort of lost sight of what you should have been doing.
Yep. I love this story. Sophie Turner, who plays Sansa Stark on Game of Thrones, seized the spotlight at a New York Rangers hockey game on Tuesday night when the Madison Square Garden Jumbotron zoomed in on her in the crowd and had her name underneath her and everything. And with thousands of fans cheering on, she slammed a glass of red wine in one gulp and the crowd went crazy.
Stood up, right?
Yeah. She then pumped her fist, forever endearing herself to the Rangers faithful. It didn't help much because they lost to Detroit in that particular game. But she attended the game with her fiance, Joe Jonas, who apparently was so proud of her chugging that she posted it on Instagram and drank in praise from other celebrities. A few people had tweeted, like Vanessa Hudgens, who wrote amazing. Nicholas Holt called Turner a true hero, and even Dr. Pimple Popper chimed in.
Wow, Dr. Pimple Popper.
Writing, oh my God, queen. So there you go.
All right.
I love Sophie Turner, man. She is stunningly beautiful, and the interviews I've seen with her, she seems really funny.
And
like a great personality.
She did dab in the video, though, and from what I understand, dabbing is now out. People don't dab anymore.
Well, maybe she's bringing it back.
Yeah, she might be
got that kind of Game of Thrones clout.
Kathy, which Jonas is Joe Jonas? Is he the youngest one, the middle one?
I don't know.
The oldest? I think he's the oldest.
I don't know.
Okay.
There's Bobby, Cindy, and Joe.
But she's such a huge Jonas fan.
I should know.
Oh, my God. Right.
For a Jonas fan, I should really know the order in which they were born.
Kathy was actually asked if she could do commercials to advertise their reality show.
Yeah. I was watching it at the time.
All right. This is great news. In a just-released video, Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter officially announced that they are reteaming this summer to make a third Bill and Ted movie. It's going to be called Bill and Ted Face the Music. And it's a fun short video. This is a clip from that. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Alex Winter.
And I'm Keanu Reeves. And together, we are
Wild Stallions. But we're here to announce something.
Yes. We want to say thank you to you, the fans, because it looks like we might
actually,
hopefully,
make a movie this summer.
Bill and Ted 3.
Face the Music.
Yes.
And it is all because of you guys, and so we owe you a huge debt of gratitude, and we wanted to say thank you.
Thank you.
And be excellent.
Yes. I am excited about this. I really am. I love the first one, enjoyed the second one.
You know why I love this so much? Is because Keanu has gone on to be a legit A-list star. He wouldn't have to do this at all.
He's certainly helping out Alex Winter by doing
it. Yeah. I think that's really cool. And you can tell in the video that these guys are buds.
They're friends.
And I really like that that Keanu's doing that.
And you look at Keanu Reeves. So here's a guy. He is not, Brando. He's not. He doesn't have that. But for what he does in his lane, he's fantastic.
You know what? But he can pull off the drama stuff. I mean,
sure.
Besides action and all of
he's
that.
He's not Daniel Day-Lewis.
But like Something's Gotta Give has been running like crazy over the past month or so. And I go back and watch. He's great in that. He's really, really good in that role. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to bring.
Is it conceivable we'd have John Wick 3 and Bill and Ted's in the same year?
Maybe. So the movie will be directed. It's supposed to hit. It's going to be announced that Orion Pictures will release a film through United Artists nationwide August 21st of next year, 2020.
Okay. So now.
When is John Wick coming out this year?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So the movie will be directed by Dean Parasot. He did Galaxy Quest.
Love Galaxy Quest.
And that's the perfect fit for a movie like this. And the screenplay will be reuniting franchise writers Chris Matheson and Ed Solomon. In the film, Winter, who plays William Bill S. Preston Esquire, Reeves will reprise the role of Theodore Ted Logan. And to fulfill their rock and roll destiny, the now middle-aged best friends set out on a new adventure when a visitor from the future warns them that only their song can save life as we know it and bring harmony to the universe. And Wild Stallions hasn't created music yet.
No.
They didn't have the song that was going to do it. Along the way, they will be helped by their families, old friends, and a few music legends as well. So pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
I was happy to see
it. I'm down with
yesterday. Yep. Let's see what else I have here for you. The Days of Our Lives leads all programs with 27 Daytime Emmy nominations this year, edging General Hospital out at 25.
My name is Dr. Jake Brick. I saw a spot on your x-ray.
Dr. Brick. Both are vying.
Listen, we all have to make decisions, and I know this one's difficult.
Both are vying for outstanding drama against The Young and the Restless.
But if you feel you're a woman, you should become a woman.
Which garnered...
I'll definitely think about it.
20 nominations. And The Bold and the Beautiful with 12.
You know, and we just talked about this yesterday, Preston. Mm. I really thought like 99% of the soap operas were gone.
Yeah.
And there's still a couple on TV.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple of web series soap operas that are just like this. It's wild.
Yeah, usually when I'm getting ready to watch the news, which comes on at 4 o'clock,
yeah.
There's still some lingering soap opera stuff still floating
What's
around.
Wrapping up at that time?
You know what? I don't know the names of
okay.
them. I just see them, and immediately I'm like, oh.
Yeah. I know General Hospital's still on, yeah?
Yeah. In fact, it's up for 25
okay.
Awards. CBS leads networks with 61 nods. Amazon and Netflix ties second place with 49. How wild is that?
My name is Rance Cliffface.
Cliffface?
I'm your accountant. I used to be a neurosurgeon.
Switch jobs.
I lost an orphan girl on the table and affected me deeply. And then, of course, I could never get close to the operating table because of my enormous penis.
Oh. Well, we all have our cross to bear.
We do have our crosses to bear.
Yeah.
Would you like a scone and some tea? I have Twinings if you'd like that.
Twinings? Oh. Wait, what's a Twinings?
Wait, what is good that? Stuff. Yeah, it's a good tea.
Yeah.
Twinings. It's either Bigelow, Twinings, you know.
Okay.
Those are good teas.
All those
right there.
Guys look, you oh, know, yeah, it doesn't know. Matter who you are. You have a little bit of the 5 o'clock shadow beard. You got the square jaw.
It's a step up from Tetley.
Who was the first guy? Something Brick?
Oh, was it?
It was Dr. Jake Brick.
Dr. Jake Brick. Jake and Brick. I don't know who the second character was.
Rance Cliffface.
Oh.
I wrote them down.
Jesus. Those are, you know what those are names like?
What?
Those are names like Boogie Nights, Chest, you know, the
Chest,
character.
Yes!
Like,
yes!
I forgot his name, like so, Chest Langley or something.
So hilarious. How much can you bench?
Yeah.
I love the conversations, though, that they have in bed. Like, the, you know, have you ever had a like a deep, deep, deep conversation in bed?
No.
Especially when they're not
Stop
even.
Stop farting is what you hear.
Yeah, when they're not looking at each other.
Right.
They're both looking, or they're, you know, you're looking at the back of the other person's head while lying in bed and having
There's
a conversation.
There's something I want to tell you.
Yes. Do we have soap opera music?
Yeah.
We should have.
Oh,
we
yes. really
We need
should.
To find.
Do you want check. Classic old?
No, not the organ thing.
Yeah.
No, like current day drama. Marissa will have to find some, but I don't think we have anything.
The
handy.
Funny thing is, all right, so there's two types of conversations. There's pre-sex conversation and then post-sex conversation.
Okay.
And guess what? Neither of those actually ever exist. You know, the conversation where they're, like, talking and then they'll like, kiss in between and then they'll talk a little bit more.
Watching. Now, there's an actress who's on Life in Pieces. Hunter King is her name. And she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And she's on one of the soap operas. And so the guy, I'm watching a bit of it, and they start to make love. But Case, like, his shirt comes undone, and then they go away to two scenes. And then they come back, and then she starts, you know. I guess we're left with the impression, for the better part of 15 minutes, they just stood there looking at each other, waiting for her to take her top off. But it, you know,
but the reality is
that's the fuel of the soap opera.
Once you start sex kissing,
yeah,
there is no conversation. Yeah. It's like,
can we get to the handy? I'd like to have intercourse now.
Intercourse.
Yeah. Why don't we go up to
coitus?
Why don't we go to the bedroom and have sexual intercourse? That would be good.
Well, there's still a lot of people watching those shows, and they're up for a whole lot of
episodes. My brother's at the door, Chip Granite. Chip. Hey.
Chip Granite.
You have different last names.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's a long story, but my mother married a puppeteer from Sicily. His name was Nunzio Rock.
Okay, so we have Brick, Cliffface, Granite, and Rock.
Yeah. Oh, we got soap opera music.
Are you serious?
Yes, here we
All
go.
All right, let's try this out. Here we go. Yes.
I have to tell you something.
Wait, is that it?
No, I just hit the wrong button.
We don't have a lot of music.
We ran out of
I
music.
I have something to tell you. We have very little theme music.
Wait a minute.
No. Start over
okay,
again.
There we go.
Fat Fingers.
I have something to tell you. You know, I've been in this wheelchair for the better part of 10 years. I'm gay. I thought you were going to say you could walk. That too.
That too.
Just thought it would be easier.
I need to process this. Well, process away. I saw it spelled once.
You saw the word process spelt once.
Procast.
Procast.
That's how it's pronounced.
It's actually
not that. It's actually procast.
I have something to tell you.
Okay.
Last night after we made love, I made a poo-poo in the bed. I have an issue with my bowels. I was erecting an orphanage along the Amazon River and was bitten by a mosquito. Rendered my sphincter useless. That low humming you hear at night, that's it. In essence, crying out for help.
But now you're on the donors list for a new sphincter.
Right now in a cooler on a plane traveling to Kennedy Airport is a sphincter. It's from my dad who died in a motorcycle accident.
All right, so maybe that scene will be up for an Emmy.
Nunzio Rock.
He's dead.
Nunzio, the famous Italian puppeteer.
Nunzio Rock. Oh, which name will we use for the lesson question today? We'll find out later on.
Hey, can I jump in here real quick?
Yes.
Because this is a note from something we were talking about earlier.
Yes.
With Weird Al Yankovic and Michael Jackson and Prince and all that.
Right. So, okay. Very perfect.
Right. No. So Craig Ligon says Michael Jackson loved Weird Al. He gave Al access to the same set he used for Bad to shoot the Fat video. Weird Al never did a Prince song because he never got permission.
All right.
Coolio didn't like Amish Paradise song because Weird Al never asked him to use it. The thing is, Gangsta's Paradise wasn't a Coolio song. It was a Stevie Wonder song, so he didn't even need Coolio's permission.
I never knew, and leave it up to Craig to know this stuff. I didn't know that Gangsta's Paradise, I thought that was a Coolio song. Well, he performed it for the movie soundtrack.
Maybe he was a performer, but
yeah. I assume Wonder you mean it was a Stevie Wonder song, meaning that the music underneath was sampled.
We could pull. I don't know. Maybe he wrote
not
the
lyrics.
Too. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think the lyrics.
Yeah. And then
that doesn't sound very Stevie Wonder-ish.
Last character note from Craig Ligon's, Brock Landers and Chest Rockwell were the characters.
Chest Rockwell.
Boogie Nights.
Chest Landers. Jesus.
That's by the great. Way, those John Holmes movies, and that's what it's based on. I mean, Dirk Diggler's basically John Holmes. Yeah. They were exactly like that, Preston. There were a series of ones where he was a private dick, get it?
Yep.
And had all that stuff going on.
All right, we got to move along quickly, and I have two more stories. I know we sidetracked with a lot of soap opera moments, but it was beautiful, so I'm happy that we did it. All right, so Emma Roberts and Evan Peters have ended their engagement. It is apparently over, so.
Oh, I have something to tell you. For the past 10 years, I've been an X-Men.
An X-Men.
I'm an X-Men.
Roberts is now dating Triple Frontier star Garrett Hedlund.
Oh.
And
that's a soap opera name.
Source,
a step up, too.
Sources tell Us Weekly Emma and Evan were heading for a split and now are just friends. I just want to be friends.
Friends.
I just want to be friends.
She's Julia's
maybe
niece.
We can have you up to the school and I can show you where the gifted kids sleep.
She's Julia's niece and Eric's son, right?
Yeah.
Emma Roberts.
And you know what? I think now I find her attractive.
Yeah.
I think so.
Cute. She's cute.
Oh, she's made it then.
Yes. I know for her it's a personal achievement to know that I think she's attractive.
She now has value.
Yeah.
I just want to let you know. I just want to let you know. Not so much in We're the Millers. But now I think you're attractive.
All right. So they're apparently dating. And then one last story and happy news. Jessica Simpson is a mom again.
I have something to tell you.
What do you have?
You're a mom. All that screaming and stuff last night. When the blood came out of your cooter, guess what I found?
Oh, my God.
A baby.
A baby.
Preston, did you see the pregnant photo she posted?
The child was 10 pounds and 13 ounces. She was huge.
Yeah,
and not for anything. Huge. Jessica has always been buxom, but now we're nuclear level.
The singer and designer who is married to former NFL player Eric Johnson welcomed a new daughter. Simpson announced on social media she said her daughter... named Birdie Mae Johnson, weighed 10 pounds, 13 ounces. So that is a very large baby.
Wow.
The couple who married in 2014 have two children, two other children together. Ace, who is 5, and Maxwell, who is 6. So, congratulations.
You know what? I follow her on Instagram as well. I don't know how I ended up following her, but...
Well, she's got big boobs.
You know what? It wasn't the big boobs, though. There was something, something that she was doing. She hangs out with the family, and she's... She's being a really good mom. Yeah.
So, anyhow, you follow her?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm following. Well, it's crazy.
All right, we're ready for clips. So let's get to those.
Excuse me there, Preston. Wrong page.
Okay.
I have guess.
Gray's Anatomy.
There's something to tell you. You know that big meal I ate earlier? What? What, you can say it? It gave me gas.
Grey's Anatomy, in its 15th season, continues to follow Meredith Grey and her fellow surgeons of Grey Sloan Memorial Hospital. Her name is Grey and the hospital is named Grey?
That's stupid.
I've never known that.
I have something to tell you.
It's been on for 15 years.
It's really bizarre.
Oh, that's the clip. I'm sorry.
What happened? What's happening?
The music.
I hear the voice.
The music and the clip are on the same thing.
I'm hearing voices.
I can't do the clip.
All right, no problem.
They navigate.
Yes, we can.
It's really bizarre because, you know, on some days you feel like you feel.
Oh, we can do that now?
Well, I moved it over to the Zeta system, too, so.
Dude, it's 10 after 7.
All right, let's go. Come on.
Come on.
Huh? I have something to tell you. We're late.
All right, so turn. Jesus. Ellen Pompeo talks about what it feels like to continue the series after so many years. Here we go.
It's really bizarre because, you know, on some days you feel like you feel the history and you feel like you've been here forever, and then other days you feel like it hasn't been 14 years. You feel like it's flown by.
I don't give a f***.
Grey's Anatomy, tonight, ABC, 8 o'clock. Next clip.
I have never liked that show.
Gotham tells the story behind James Gordon's rise and prominence in Gotham City before Batman's arrival, and in this clip, Cameron Bikondova reflects on her top secret audition for Catwoman. Here we go.
Well, I mean, I auditioned for a girl named Lucy, and she was a 14-year-old street thief who was an orphan. The actress had to be good at cat movements, and I was pretty naive. I was like, oh, cat movements. Okay. And, you know, with my dance background, I thought that was a blessing in disguise. I was just like, whoa, perfect. This is it. This is mine.
I love this show. So damn good. If you get a chance, Preston, when you're looking for something to binge, it's wrapping up, get involved with it.
We had her in our studio right as the show was beginning, and her character on there, and she was only 13, 14 years old, but you could just tell by looking at her. She's going to be stunning when she gets older. If she's a good actress, she's got a hell of a career ahead of her.
She is. And she's. And remember, we were commenting on how much she looked like Michelle Pfeiffer.
Totally. Yeah. Same facial features, eyes, and everything. Gotham is on tonight on Fox at 8 p.m. And there you go. That's your entertainment report this morning. All right. When we return, we're going to have a new matchup to bring you up to speed on with Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness, which is going on. Our video is going head-to-head per your votes. 64. It's a bracket system, seeded, the whole deal, different regions and everything. So we already have the first video, which is when we tried Sir Strumming versus Bill Weston's Two-Face after he got Novocaine in his mouth. If you don't remember those moments, go check out the videos. We have them all right there for very easy. If you only want to watch a little part of it, just to remind yourself, and then you can vote. So we'll take a break, come back in a second. We'll tell you what the next matchup is, and we are asking for your help. All of this through WMMR.com, PrestonandSteve.com. We will return shortly.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR. It's time for Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness.
All right. Something brand new. We've started our Daily Rush videos, which are brought to you by Punchline Philly, are up and running. And we are going to have these videos battle it out against each other, and you get to vote which ones are your favorite. And we've regioned them, we've seeded them, and now we have them matching up against each other in bracket form. Our first one for the 6 a.m. hour was our Sir Strumming against Bill Weston's Two-Face.
I can't even call that one.
Now we have Caitlyn Jenner's Dinner Party against Preston Makes Up the Number Faye. So what we'll do is we'll play a short clip each time we have these going up against each other, and you can vote for them. You can see the videos in their entirety. at WMMR.com. If you want to watch them, you can. If you don't want to, that's fine. If you don't have time, you can go ahead and vote. Voting's very simple. It's just a click and you're done. So this is Caitlyn Jenner's dinner party. Just a little slice of it to remind you.
Yeah. Well, look who it is. It's LeVar Burton from Reading Rainbow.
Oh, my God. Seriously?
No way.
They usually bring something, too, like a
That's
little
right.
housewarming
what
gift.
What is this?
Some delightful.
This is what they call a bun cake. How do you get the icing inside? One of the great wonders of science.
Well, that's the first time we had, oh, look, there wow. it is. And that video is going up against the time that I apparently created a number called Faye. And here's a little clip of that. Number Faye is Rey from Star Wars.
Number Faye?
Number Faye.
Did I say number Faye?
Yeah, it is a Rey.
I just thought that was a... Wow, hey, Preston knows all the hip words for free.
And counting down from Faye. Faye.
And now Ray. Number Faye.
All right, so if you want to watch the videos, they're at WMMR.com. Is it narcissistic that I enjoy watching our own videos?
No.
I think it's because I had so much fun the first time around.
Also,
that I'm able to enjoy it again on subsequent viewings and listenings.
I know you would have that fear, but the truth of the matter is that Nick Murphy and his crew there captures everything in a way. Like, we don't see it that way. We don't experience it that way.
Yeah,
so
true.
So
true.
And a lot of times there'll be flourishes, and just simple by a simple edit can make something.
Yeah.
Oh my God! I didn't realize that Casey was suppressing a laugh or whatever, and that or a face you had, and it really it's a lot of fun. So even if it is, I'm loving this.
So help us out with this and vote for your favorite videos. We do 5 matchups each morning, and this is going to go on for 3 weeks. It may get a little old after a little while, but we're going to get closer and closer to narrowing down one that is the tops of them all. And like I said, it's sponsored by Punchline, Philly Fishtown's newest comedy club, restaurant, and bar. We actually have a new Daily Rush video that's up today. It's Taylor Swift's Stalker Gets a Job. And it's a kind of a catch me if you can scenario. If you want to check that out, that's available on PrestonSteve.com. But we are doing Daily Rush Madness, so help us out with that. There's an audio clip I want to play. I purposely did not listen to this, Steve. You described it to me earlier this
morning.
Yeah,
there's actually 3 of them, Preston, and it comes in a progression. So what happened was, it's a Miami man, of course a Florida man, named Jesus Alvarez, or Jesus.
Jesus.
And he pled guilty this week to torching his girlfriend to death, poured gasoline on her, and set her on fire with the match. And he's up in front of the judge. And he tries to explain how he was the victim. And you hear the judge.
What?
The judge starts to kind of in a I can't believe I'm having to say this way.
Okay.
In clip one, and then it progresses to clip two. He's just not getting it.
Oh, dear God.
And it's bizarrely amusing for such a horrible thing.
All right, here's the the first clip. Here we go.
I didn't mean to do this. You know what I'm saying?
Mr. Roberts, when you put gasoline on someone,
okay,
and you light a match,
okay, but check this out,
generally,
right?
It's not a good outcome.
It wasn't, okay? For one, it wasn't.
All right, so I didn't mean to do this, is what he said. And she goes, when you put gas on someone and light on fire, then...
it's not a good outcome.
Yeah, and he said, okay. And
yeah, then, I can see your point.
All right, here's the next clip.
You come home, and you walk in your house, and you see the woman that you love, or another man doing the thing in there. In the moment of heat, you, especially if you have anything in your head or you drink or something, you don't know what you do. I really can't understand.
So you lit her on fire.
You lit her on fire.
You caught her cheating, but do you understand, sir? You lit her on fire.
Yeah. He's saying, you know, he's saying this was a crime of passion, I guess, right?
She's not buying it.
Okay.
Because apparently what happened is that there was... Obviously, they didn't just sit there while he, as from what I understand, the story had happened later where he, you know, got the gas and set her on fire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So here's the last clip.
If I wanted to have that woman burned to death, I would have left her right there. But she did
burn to death.
Okay.
I can't even begin to wrap my head around the idea that somehow you're the victim.
I mean, there is a guy who just will not take ownership.
Wow.
Of, you know, but if I didn't care, she died.
I know, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, the saying is you can't fix stupid.
Exactly.
And
he's a Florida man, too.
This guy's an idiot. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So is the trial done or are they...
That was, I believe, the sentencing stage where he had his chance to talk to the judge. I don't think he convinced her.
No, I don't think so either. Wow, that's pretty messed up. Well, That's an idiot right
yes.
there. That's a psycho, actually, on top of it. Hey, I saw this other story that I thought was kind of interesting. I have an 18-year-old. You know, my son is, my oldest son is 18, and we're starting to kick around. You know, that term adult now is used
yes.
once you turn 18 years old.
Right. How's that met when you bring that up?
You know, it's nothing that we, you know, bang around, but, you know, we do remind, you know, yeah. that legally, in the eyes of the law, you're 18 years old, just to let you know. So that means you can make your own decisions, you can yeah. be held responsible for your actions and so on and so forth. But I look at that now that I have an 18-year-old and the thought that at 18 you're considered an adult, insane.
Mm-hmm.
You're a teenager still.
I remember you know when I mean? I was when I turned 18, I was like, really?
Yeah.
So I always thought I considered 21 the beginning because I figured, okay, that's when you sign the legal document and it's there's really not a lot of wiggle room out of it at that point.
Yeah.
But I remember, Preston, I'm not even sure I feel like an adult now.
I know.
I was watching an NHL game the other night. I don't know if it was the Flyers or not, but one of the teams in the league brought up an 18-year-old. And he's the youngest player in the NHL at this point. And I just was thinking, like you were, Preston, about what I was like when I was 18 and, quite frankly, what I was like at 21 and then 25 and what an idiot I was and some days continue to be. And I just... How can you be held responsible at 18 because you're so stupid at
because
that
you
age?
Also know right from wrong.
You
and,
do.
And there's a long, you know... So even kids these days, and, you know, back when I was a kid, you know right from wrong, right? So, it's, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, he's just a kid or she's just a kid. Well, does she know the difference between right and wrong?
Yeah.
You know, not that she can or he can be, you know, charged or, you know,
at 18,
treated like an adult.
Yeah, yeah.
But Preston, can you still ground your child at 18 years old?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. At yep. what point does...
you know why? Because I own everything.
Yeah.
That's why.
Right?
Well,
I'll
you know
take
what?
That
if you're
li-
if yeah. he's living... Now, yeah. So at what point, say he's going to college and yeah. he's living at home.
Yep.
Can you ground?
Listen, if
okay, yeah.
Yeah, as long as you're... As long as you don't have to pay for anything, I can do what I want
yeah,
to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I will take the car... your residence and whatever else.
Right.
I had to throw that out not long ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
How did it feel?
Bad.
I'm
horrible,
sure, yeah.
Terrible. But, you know, I think I used the line of, you know, try living off that part-time job you have.
Yeah.
It ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
He can still be on your health insurance.
Uh-huh.
He can't rent a car. He can't go to some and rent. Hotel rooms. So
you
know what I mean? Like
can't
the
buy
fact,
booze.
The fact that you can't buy booze, the mm-hmm. fact that you can't do all of those things, but you're considered an adult. I don't know.
And I have a point to this, which I'll bring up in just a moment here.
Well, now I'm getting back to the grounding thing because I was thinking that you, even in your like full blown adulthood, can sort of get grounded without your wife actually saying you're grounded.
Yeah.
You know, you can get
slightly grounded.
You kind of get in trouble where it's like, you know, normally on a Friday night, I'd be able to go out and have some, you know, drinks with my buddies. Yeah. But I messed up earlier this week, so
I
kind of probably should stay in.
That's great. If anybody is a full-grown adult and has been grounded, please call us because I want to hear that story.
Yes.
215-263-WMMR. By your spouse, by your parents, whatever it may be, I would like to hear
that
story. But yeah, as long as you're beholding to someone else taking care of your living, then, yeah, you can be grounded. If you know what's good for you, you'll adhere to it as well. But the reason I bring this up, there's new scientific research that finds that people don't really hit adulthood, and I agree with this, until you're in your 30s. I clearly remember when I was 28 years old and I started working at WDREA, just turned 28.
Right, right.
Man, I should have been a full-blown adult by then, and I did not feel like it at all. I didn't feel like it mentally. I didn't. Act like to some respects, I acted like it responsibly, but I still was being an idiot, you know, which is your entitlement before you become an adult. I think
I know what you're saying, and it's weird because I say this all the time right now. There are still aspects. I mean, if you look at my room, it's the room of a 15-year-old boy. But the truth of the matter is that there are things that I'm very adult on. So I would say, Preston, in my 30s, I got married. And I, you know, and started to take, you know, steps in life that mm-hmm. are classically associated with a level of maturity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I could see that. I mean, in your 20s, mentally, I don't. there's not a lot of difference, or at least in attitude and spirit,
right,
between what I am right now and what I was in my 20s.
I didn't, and I'm sorry to interrupt, Casey, but it wasn't until my 30s that I started really thinking about saving money and, you know, the long game.
I didn't start
thinking about that until my 30s.
I feel like every single step of my adulthood, there was somebody there, and I'm probably guilty of doing the same thing, but there was somebody there that was already a few steps above me that was there to make me feel like I was still a kid, right? So when I'm 18, there was somebody who was 21 going, oh, man, you know. And then when I was
to make you feel like a kid, I got you.
And then when I was 21 going to the bars for the first time, there was somebody there who was 25 going, oh, my God, I can't believe you're such a – you're a kid. I can't, oh, my God, I'm so old, you know, and – I probably did those same exact things.
Well, John Mulaney was on the Seinfeld, you know, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, and he talked about how when he was a kid, he acted like an adult.
Yeah,
like he would go read the newspaper at a cafe, like when he was 10, 11, and sit there with a cup of coffee and read the news.
I do believe there are some people who are old souls.
Yeah.
And that they mature sooner than others in that mini mature personality-wise.
I was not that person. I had levels of it, but I've always had sort of a childlike whimsy.
I'm going to go to these calls in just a second here, Casey, but let me mention this. University of Cambridge researchers examined the brain. Neuroscientist Peter Jones says, what we're really saying is that to have a definition of when you move from childhood to adulthood looks increasingly absurd. He said it's a much more nuanced transition.
Agreed.
That takes place over three decades. Looking at it another way, the brain is going through major changes when a person is an adolescent, accounting for much of adolescent behavior, but the changes don't end as soon as someone leaves their teens. Jones says there isn't a childhood and then an adulthood. People are on a pathway. They're on a trajectory.
I can give a verification of that. And also, Preston, if you're playing it right as you get older, there's a big exhale to life. The amount of pandemonium and hand-wringing that occurred when I was young, what are we going to do? That, you know, if you're playing it right, that starts to diminish.
All right, I'm going to go to some adults who have gotten grounded.
I love this. Got to hear this.
I'm going to go to Nick. Hi, Nick. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
Good, Nick. So we want to hear you're a full-grown adult. You got children and everything. And what happened?
And I totally got fully grounded.
Okay, do tell.
So my wife gets done work later than I do. So I do all the kid responsibilities after school.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nice day. So, you know, I took the kids to the park, but it had rained, you know, a couple days before. And, I mean, we all came home looking like muck monsters. Complete mud. We were playing on the slides. And it was my poker night. I brought the kids home. Dinner wasn't ready. The homework wasn't done. And I'm like, all right, babe, I'm getting ready to go to poker.
All right, wait, let me back up a second. So the kids didn't get their homework done. Okay, so that was all right. And then you said you're going to poker, and
no, they not only did they not get their homework done, but we were all filthy because we were playing outside and then it rained like the night before.
We were all playing outside.
I get dressed real quick. They're all still muddy, sitting in the house, and I'm like, all right, babe, I'm getting ready to go. And she just gave me the look. Like, you better not leave. And I sure enough did not leave. And I got the kids cleaned up, and that was my evening.
And you were grounded.
Did she have to say as much, or did just a look get it done?
Yeah, the look just was enough.
So you were visually grounded.
Yep.
Did you call the guys? I'm like, guys, I can't come over.
Yeah, I can't play.
Yeah, it's like
I got dirty playing.
I'm not making it tonight. I don't feel good.
You called in sick to poker. Yeah.
I love it, Nick.
Thanks, my tummy hurts.
Appreciate it. Let me go next to, hang on first, I'm going to go to Amanda. Hi, Amanda. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Amanda. So you got grounded by your husband?
I did. let me preface this story with, my husband's wonderful. I love him very much. I got very drunk.
Okay.
We're going to go into it with, I'm 31. I went to a Flyers game, and I showed the tops of my shoulders. I had a Flashdance shirt on. It was a Flyers Flashdance shirt. I was in a theme. My husband just didn't feel comfortable with it. We ran into an old friend of ours. I was drunk. This guy kind of hit on me. I hit on him a little bit. I was hammered. The whole, this is it. You're giving the wrong impression. Are you out of your mind? We've been married. We argued the whole car ride home. I cried a whole lot. He yelled a whole lot. The very next day, we did not speak. 4 days later. We started talking again. It was Valentine's Day. We got on the good terms. He turned around and pretty much said, never again.
Wow, never again.
He grounded you from Flyers games?
No, he barred me from showing my shoulders.
Oh, okay, all right. Apparently you have some rocking shoulders.
Apparently I do. I apologize profusely. I'm so sorry I made you feel uncomfortable, but it's your shoulders. I wasn't showing full-blown nips.
Right. Right.
Hey, you better not.
Amanda, what did you end up doing with that top? Did you throw it away?
I kept it for a week, and then we had a different Flyers event, and I said, listen, is it okay if I wear it? I really like it. And he said, I thought I told you. It pissed out the wrong image.
Wow.
Well, you're very, to be honest, you're very understanding. I don't, listen, you had a little bit of a misstep. You got a little too lit up. I get it. But I don't know if that's the kind of law a husband lays down, you know?
I think what really put it into hyperdrive is there was another dude that was involved.
Mm-hmm. He was jealous.
I mean, all right, so.
She said she hit on him, too.
Yeah. And that was a mistake.
That sounds like flirting, though.
Yes.
In fairness, she was hammered.
Yeah, okay.
But if the tides were turned, I think maybe, you know, your husband wouldn't be allowed to wear those boy shorts and be able to flirt with the girl. You know, to me, it seems a little domestic abusey. Right?
Well, it is. Domestic abusey. Not domestic abusey, more Gary Busey.
All right, yeah.
He's absolutely right. If the shoe was on the other foot, my horns would have been twisted to the point that it would have been like, all right, well, we're never going to a Flyers game.
Well, man, if you're cool with that, let me ask you, though. Let me ask you, how far did it get with this other guy? Did you give him shoulder?
My husband told me I kissed him. I thought I was kissing his cheek. Billy told me I was kissing his neck.
Oh, over there? Well,
yo,
okay.
Yo.
Man, when your shoulders come out, you get slutty.
Yeah.
It's hammered. I'm an adult now. I can't.
Hammered. Yeah, get rid of the shirt.
Shirt's bad, man.
Grounded from clothing. Interesting.
Grounded from clothing. It was kind of like, nope, you ain't wearing that no more.
Okay. I love this girl. I love you, Amanda. You're great. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it.
Have a wonderful day.
You too. We'll see you later. I want to go next to Clinton. Hey, Clint, you're on the air.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
Doing good, man. So tell us about your full-grown adult and you were grounded.
Well, I ended up having to stay later at work, and I told my wife that I would pick up my my in-law from school, and I forgot to do that. So I called her halfway through. I said, look, you're going to go pick her up. She started freaking out on me. You don't have any commitment, you know, blah, 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 blah. You're grounded. I'm like, from what? She's like, you're not going to play. I know you got that Spider-Man game. You're not going to play that.
She grounded you from video games. That's
That's a kid's grounding.
That's what you do to a kid.
So let me get this straight now. You're picking up your in-law from school?
Yes, but it doesn't end there.
Okay.
I couldn't watch what I wanted to watch. I had to sit through romantic movies. Now, mind you, I felt like my penis went into me like Caitlin said.
But you were so guilty you went along with it.
Sure, let's just go along with that.
Yeah. He couldn't play Spider-Man and had to watch romantic movies.
How long were you locked out of the video game?
It's been 3 weeks now.
It's been 3 weeks
currently.
Wow, you're still in video game jail.
Wow.
That's a long grounding.
Honestly, did you forget or did you just not want to pick him up?
No, honestly, I forgot.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Clinton. We appreciate it, man. By the way, in the whole grounding thing, when you're grounding a kid, you have to consider the timeline.
Yeah.
And words like a month can fly out of your mouth very quickly.
Yeah. I was wondering about that.
And then you stop and think about it. Oh, my God. They can't watch TV for a month. What the hell are we going to do all day long?
Because it impacts you.
So I have to entertain them.
Do you have to, is the course of action, since I don't have kids, and my parents were exceptionally good at this stuff, so I don't remember exactly ever having an issue, but do you ruminate on it, like with a court, we're going to consider your punishment?
Sometimes.
Okay.
But sometimes
You're so pissed off at whatever just happened.
It just flies out.
You just, boom, right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, judge, jury, executioner.
10 years without food.
Yeah.
Seriously.
10 years?
Well, I'll go, no video games. And he's like, well, for how long? I'm like, forever. Throwing it in the trash.
Forever's not good. You got to go a little bit less than forever, but a more than a day.
Are you ever going to have kids? They won't play either.
Well, and then he goes, well, really, is it really going to be forever? I'm like, okay, now we're getting into questions. Like, stop it.
Is the worst thing to do, though, to reverse a decision? Like if you say a month and then, well, okay, just a week.
Well,
are you showing weakness to the enemy?
No, what you have to do is you make mental stock of that and then you go, okay, after 2 weeks, if they're good, I can let them out. You know what I mean? Or something
okay,
like that.
Right,
so,
right.
So you can have what would be the proper word? I guess out for good behavior.
Yes.
You know,
time served.
Time served.
We were never grounded as kids. I can remember the one and only time I was ever grounded. Like my parents kind of, my mom would always make us feel like, I guess, like just feel so bad about the situation that she was like, I didn't have to ground you because you felt bad about it.
What did you do? Did you leave the house not as pretty as normal?
Shut up. No, but I remember the one time I ever got grounded and I wasn't allowed to go to a party and I had to stay home. And I just remember it being like, I think it was probably in like middle school.
Okay.
And I remember it being like so terrible that I could not go. Everyone was there. All my friends were there. And I had to stay home
in my
bedroom.
Kath, I remember being grounded and being let out of being grounded to go to a party. And I think, you know, I didn't really drink much in high school, but I was at a party and somebody snuck alcohol in a hairspray bottle and then sprayed it on my face. So I came home just reeking of booze.
Yeah, no
way. So I was grounded for a while. And then I was like, Mom, I was invited to this party and like all the popular kids are going to be there. You know, and she let me out
and
of it.
She
let me go to the popular kids party.
That's a good mom.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
And then in return, you showed her how to use her VCR.
Yeah. I'm along with your mom. I don't buy the, you got sprayed in the face with alcohol.
No, it's the truth.
Right.
And then I was in Jen Berg's basement.
And then they put cigarettes in my mouth and made me smoke them.
And they made me
inhale. And they made me finger blast this girl.
Whose basement? Oh, dude. Casey just full on spit water out of his mouth all over the place.
They held my hand and made me do things to this girl.
Whose house was it?
It was Jen Burke's house. Her grandmom was watching her. Her parents were away for the weekend. And
God, as a kid, it's funny the way you approach it because on both sides you have the parent who's handing down the sentence and the trauma of being a kid and remembering receiving that sentence.
Let me go back to these adults who got grounded. I'm going to go to Laura. Hi, Laura. Good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? All right, Laura, I'm reading here. You actually did the grounding of your husband.
I grounded my husband.
Okay, tell, please. Okay.
So he went out for a guy's weekend. We've been married for a little while. He went out with all of his buddies who are also all married. One of them, I guess, not as happily as the rest of them.
Uh-huh.
So he found a lady friend and a group of ladies, and my husband's awesome. He was kind of giving me the play-by-play the whole time, sending me texts like, it's getting weird over here. And that was all I heard of it. And then a couple weeks later, we were out with all the couples, kind of just having like a game night or whatever. And the one guy was like, yeah, well, we ended up in the Uber with all these ladies. And I was like, oh, really? Once we left the party, I was like, I'm letting you know right now, if that ever happens again, you're never seeing your friends again, and you're losing all booty privileges, or I'll just chop it off, whichever one's easier.
Whoa! So you go bob it on his ass. But so when you have you ever in your relationship had to suspend sex privileges?
I have not, no.
Okay.
But this was like, he's very good about letting me know when things are going on, like if he feels uncomfortable or whatever. But then I guess he had had too much to drink, too, and didn't remember the Uber ride.
So yeah.
I was like, we're going to have to.
It sounds like he's a good guy. It just was a little bit of a misstep.
All right. Thanks, Laura.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. I remember when I was grounded from sex.
Yeah.
Oh,
I remember.
Yeah.
I was there.
We all remember that.
Preston and I were making love.
No. It was Fat Tuesday.
It was Fat Tuesday.
And we were at Fat Tuesday on South Street.
Yeah.
And it was just pandemonium. And
I mean, people, Preston, what, like 100 people thick? You know,
it was just a mob
up to the stage, just hundreds of people,
huge line out the door, down the street, around the corner. Anyway, so we're on stage, we're hosting these contests and stuff, and some guy puts a girl up on her shoulders. She had really big boobs. She took her top off completely.
Yeah.
I mean, no bra, nothing. And they came over to me.
For the express purpose of?
Yes, me grabbing her boobs, which I did with both hands and did a big old shake and everything.
I think, though, you...
What?
You knew, like, Michelle was there, yes?
I think so.
And, but you were acting, Preston. You're an actor.
You were acting.
On stage.
And I think you, did you even look toward, like, can I, or?
I don't remember.
Okay.
All I know is I didn't have sex for weeks after that because I was completely cut off.
I'm getting so many text messages right now. So my one friend says the Catholic disappointment treatment is worse than being grounded. She knew what I was talking about. My mom said, I grounded your father once. And Michelle also texted me and said there were several times that you were grounded.
Oh, so. Ask what is, another one besides that. Oh, okay.
So you're texting Kathy now, huh?
Oh yeah,
hon. Is that the way this works now,
hon?
Okay.
Just say just contact her and say I'm sorry. You can't give me oral pleasures now.
And then there was when she went on strike, the entire family was grounded, and that did include sex privileges too. So.
I got to tell you what, that was a champ way. She rolled like a boss with that one because
she put the foot down,
and it worked. Did it not?
It did.
Yeah.
Were you grounded when you wouldn't get a vasectomy at first?
Yeah, that's right. That was the other one.
How does Kathy know more about your sexual
pleasure? Because they're apparently buds.
It's also good to know that she's listening.
Yeah. Really?
I thought she stopped doing that. Let me go to... Here, we have several of these now. I'm going to go to... Let's go to Minnie. These are adults who've gotten grounded. Hi, Minnie. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thank you, Minnie. All right, tell us your story, please.
So my dad, my wonderful 60-year-old father, gets really uncomfortable when we talk about any kind of genitalia.
Yes.
And I'm 30. I'm over his house, of course, like the good 30-year-old. I'm doing laundry at his house because I don't have one at my apartment.
Because you're not an adult yet.
Yeah.
And I have a 17-year-old brother, and I'm talking to him and my mom, and I'm telling dirty jokes, and I'm saying pretty crude things because I'm 30. What can you do to me now? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And my dad's like, you're grounded. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't live here anymore. He's like, go to your room. I'm like, fine, cool. It's not even my room anymore. And he says, well, you just got to go then. I'm like, wait, I have laundry in the washer and dryer. And he's like, sorry, got to go.
Yeah. That's
like,
it.
Fine.
That was the privilege he was able to take from you.
He was taking away laundry, per Preston's point. If you have something to exert over you, and he did. So did you dutifully do that?
I told my mom, I'm like, Mom, hook me up, and I left. But I was amazed. I'm 30.
It's not even my room anymore.
It's his. My house, my rules.
Yes,
that's it, man.
Yeah.
All right, Minnie.
But I think it's because it was me. Because anybody else has a dirty joke and it's hilarious, but because I'm his daughter. And
yes, you were getting a double standard treatment.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing, Minnie. We appreciate it.
That's funny.
Let's see. Oh, my God. So many good stories here. We're not going to have time to get to all of them. Let's go to Richard. Hi, Richard. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, Richard? Tell us your story of being grounded, please.
Hey, guys. I got grounded in 1985. I'm not allowed to go to the Mummers Parade anymore.
Since 1985?
Yeah, my wife grounded me. We moved back here in 85 from D.C., and I had a college buddy who wanted to know what the Mummers Parade was, so he came up to D.C.
This is 34 years ago.
He was dressed like Indiana Jones, and that was the first mistake, because somewhere on Broad Street, he bumped into a woman who was dressed the same way, and that was the last time I saw him.
So what?
And it was a week.
Richard, what did you do? What was the worst thing you did that day that gave you a 34 sentence?
Grounding.
Grounding.
Well, it was a week before I heard from him, and I was pretty hammered, too, and pretty much fell up the steps to her mother's house. And when they answered the door, I was face down.
Oh, Richard.
I love this story.
So your buddy and Mr. and Mrs. Indiana Jones.
I had gone with my grandfather and my father, who had gone for decades. It was a tradition, and I was back, and so I was joining in. And Michael was coming too. And like I said, next time I heard from him was a week later. He was in D.C.
Oh my God.
He had no idea what happened the first 24 hours.
Hey, Richard, was your Indiana Jones friend calling from D.C. from that big warehouse where they keep the Ark of the Covenant?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Oh, you poor thing, Richard. All right, well, thanks, man.
You know,
appreciate
it. I'm sure that, you know, there's guys out there with these Eagles season tickets that have done things that, you know what, you're not allowed to go to an Eagles game for
a while.
Oh,
I'll bet you that's one to hold over them.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and that what is the difference between that and being grounded as a kid? It's the same thing. Yep. And you when you get something like that, when I've been called on something by my wife, you feel like you're 12 years old.
One last call. I'll go to Joe. Hi, Joe. Good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks show. All right. What'd you get grounded for?
So my wife asked me for like 3 days to do a couple things around the house. I didn't do it, you know. So she goes, you know what? No sex for a week. Wow. I said, whatever. I can take care of myself then. Jokingly.
Yeah.
And then so I came home the next day from work. My PS4 was gone.
I'm taking your games away. I'm taking your toys.
So I bugged out. And I asked her, and she said, oh, you'll never find it. I was ready to tear apart the house looking for it. She goes, no, it's not even here. She took it to her mother's for 2 weeks. I couldn't play video games.
Wow.
Man, a game system, it runs the gamut from kids to adults.
I hope you learned your lesson, Joe.
Sure.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. All right, well, you're never too... Never too young to be grounded.
To be grounded, yeah.
All right, interesting. And you're not an adult until you're in your 30s, according to studies, which makes total sense to me. All right, well, listen, we've got to take a break. I want to give away some of these passes that we have for Club Risque. You have to be at least 21 years of age. And
maybe you'll get grounded.
Yeah, maybe. Our friend Alexis Texas is going to be appearing Friday, March 22nd, this Friday. That's tomorrow, actually, at Club Risque in Philly. And you can go to clubrisque.com. To get info on all three of our Club Risque appearances. So let's take three callers, 215-263-WMMR. We'll give you those passes. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. Don't forget to vote for Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness. We have two videos going up against each other. Caitlyn Jenner's dinner party against me making up the number Faye. And you can vote for the other ones as well. The voting goes through the day, and tomorrow we'll reveal the winners of the matchups and move on to the next round. So get on that through WMMR.com. We'll be back in just a moment. Bizarre file stories are coming up.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, the Warhawks. Celebrating our area's best talent, bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. And see more at WMMR.com. Keyword Local Shots. The Warhawks, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. It's time for Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness.
We're trying to find out what your favorite Preston Steve Daily Rush video is. We got five matchups a day. We've already announced two of them. It was the Sir Strumming episode against Bill Weston's Two-Face, Caitlyn Jenner's dinner party versus when I made up the number Faye. And the third one we're going to highlight, and you can vote on these at WMMR.com, Regis wants to bang your fillings out versus Lindsay Lohan's chicken finger party. And
wow.
These are usually origin videos. I think it might have been the first time we had Lindsay's chicken finger moment.
Apparently that's what she subsists on.
And Regis wants to bang your fillings out.
I didn't even remember that one.
These videos are available. I watched them last night. You would remember it if you saw it for sure, Steve. But they're from the privileged region. Here's a clip of the Regis, in case you need to be brought up to speed on it.
Amal is a beautiful woman.
She is a beautiful woman.
She has so much charisma and charm. They are obviously...
I bang her fillings out.
Jeez.
Said it. Not taking it back. No do-over.
So that was a moment.
I do remember that.
That was a moment from that one. And then Lindsay's chicken finger party was a little taste of this.
Chicken finger.
Awesome.
Ramon, send the chicken fingers to table 7. I want bottle service and chicken finger service all night. Have the chicken fingers flow like wine.
All right, so there's a little taste of those. You can watch the videos in their entirety at WMMR.com.
I love that you're getting origin stories for so many of the bits that continue along. And it, as we go along, we just have casual conversations amongst us. And I think they're really evenly matched out of the gate. I'm very happy with the work you guys did on it.
For the last matchup, when we did Caitlyn Jenner's dinner party, it was the first time we kind of heard Caitlyn Jenner from you.
Much lower register.
Much lower.
So Caitlyn's gotten up here now.
Right.
Well, she's more of a lady now. Yeah. Right.
Well, I still had my full genitalia.
Right,
and with the removal became a pitch shift.
So it's up to you, and all you have to do is go to WMMR.com, and you will see right there is Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness. Click on it, vote, let us know what you think. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Alrighty, and let's get right into some stories, friends. We'll start with this one. Law enforcement in Maryland have charged two suspects in the armed robbery of a convenience store involving a man dressed as a unicorn and wielding a crowbar.
See, there are unicorns.
Jacob William Raji was charged with armed robbery and second-degree assault after robbing a store around 5 a.m. Saturday morning dressed in a full-body white and pink unicorn costume.
So as per the legend, unicorns have one horn and a tire iron?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. The man is accused of using the crowbar to smash one of the registers at High's Dairy Store and demanding money from an employee. He went to the milk place.
Does the guy, is a bank on that street or a dairy store? Let's go to the dairy store.
Police officers responding to the call passed the car, which fit the description, but before officers could turn around and stop it, it lost control and crossed over to oncoming traffic. Officers were given details that the suspect was dressed as a unicorn and armed with a crowbar. It was traveling at a high rate of speed. Ultimately, when they tried to catch up, the car was involved in a single vehicle accident and crashed into mailboxes and a pole, shrubbery, and finally a boulder, which...
The boulder stopped him, not the shrubbery.
Which redirected the vehicle back across the road where it came to a stop after striking a tree. Both suspects were transported to area hospitals. They had serious injuries at the time.
Don't move. Your horn is damaged.
Yeah, so dressed as a unicorn. Yeah. You never know, man. A 37-year-old man suffered significant injuries after his mother allegedly ran him over on purpose. Listen to how weird this story is. Cynthia Grund is accused of second-degree assault and could face an attempted murder charge in connection to the incident that left her son with significant injuries to his head and pelvis. Grund, and by the way, Grund is the sister of a woman named Lois Reese, a grandmother who is awaiting trial in Florida for allegedly killing her lookalike after fleeing Minnesota after she allegedly killed her husband. Okay.
Whoa.
Anyway.
That's a whole other story.
Back to the other story. Grund is accused of running over her son after she had arranged for him to stay with a friend. The son, who authorities said was drinking all day, allegedly laid across the driveway after the mother tried to give him a ride and said, "Why don't you just run over me?" And that's when Grund allegedly ran him over before the man's stepdad called 911.
You don't know Grund.
Now, Grund allegedly told the deputies the following. She said, "He didn't believe I would. He has been drinking all day. We gave him a chance." And she wasn't drunk, by the way.
No.
The son was taken by ambulance to the hospital as of Tuesday afternoon. The man was in fair condition. So she just flat out ran over her son on purpose.
Mama Grund for you.
A man was arrested for attempted murder after a stolen car slammed into a 24-hour gym early Tuesday morning, and authorities are investigating the possibility that the crash was intentional due to a grievance held by the former member. The vehicle smashed through glass at the front entrance of Crunch Fitness at about 2 a.m.
How perfect.
Yeah, the gym was open at the time. No injuries were reported. Surveillance video shows an employee running to safety after a split second before the Honda sedan comes barreling into the building, smashes all the way to the front counter. And according to a witness, it said this guy just started revving his car at the end, he put it in drive and let the car go. It was going to be pretty fast, she said.
You never have enough towels!
He rolled out and started running towards Imperial Highway. Deputies found the driver in his own vehicle about 2 miles from the scene, took him into custody. He was identified as Sergio Reyes.
One employee said that Reyes had been a member of the gym for about 3 weeks before his membership was canceled due to his alleged stalking and harassment of female members.
And he thought he should still be allowed to be a member with that.
Yeah, so he drove his car through.
What did I join this for if I can't stalk the members?
Mm-hmm. A high school lacrosse player in Delaware can't play in games because his head is too big.
Oh, man. Can't put in a helmet?
Who did we all think from of immediately?
Touchstone Pictures. Yes. The story of one kid with a head that's too big. Nick McElwain.
Yeah, exactly.
Then a young therapist came in, and everything changed around. I am Kathy Romano. We're going to take a chainsaw to that noggin.
The News Journal of Wilmington reports that 15-year-old Billy Boyd's head... Billy Boyd's an actor, right?
Yes.
Yeah, from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, Billy Boyd's head measures 25 inches around.
It's a band name, Billy Boyd's head.
And by the way, an average grown man's head is about 21 to 23 inches in circumference.
Yeah.
His is 25 and he's 15. Regulation helmets aren't available in size, so he's not allowed to compete.
So is it? It's just a naturally large head. He's, yeah. He doesn't have any. He doesn't have some. You know, like
a... no. He's just a big kid. He's 6'2".
Wow.
He's a freshman, and his father Bill have struggled to find larger custom made helmets that can be approved. The Boston Globe says manufacturer Cascade Maverick recently crafted a larger helmet for University of Albany player Tahoka Nanticoke. Maverick lacrosse player, vice president.
Can he just flip a hot tub over?
I'm sorry. Cascade Maverick lacrosse vice president Roland LaRose says that a Boyd-sized helmet may be possible now that the company has developed an alternative manufacturing process. So they may try to make a helmet for this kid.
That's going to cost a lot, right?
Possibly, yeah. I'm curious what size your head is, Nick, after hearing that the average...
yeah.
Adult grown man's head is 21 to 23 inches long. See if we can find a tape measure.
When I do,
get the one we use for penis measuring.
When I do a fitted hat, it's usually extra large. You know, my graduation cap was extra large. Yeah. They had to scale it up, and so I feel your pain, Billy.
Mrs. McElwain, can we see you for a moment here? Your son has a huge
head. Yeah.
And we want to get him able to walk in the graduation process. We have hired craftsmen from Lancaster to build a hat for him.
They brought in the Amish.
But we're not sure if structurally it's sound, and it's going to be gusty on graduation day. He might become airborne.
Oh, he might become airborne. Oh, my God.
I have something to tell you. You have super-duper big head disease. What are you saying? I'm saying your son won't be able to graduate.
Super-duper.
You can't find a mortarboard big enough.
Super duper big head syndrome.
Is that the Latin name? No, I just made it up.
All right. One last story. Robbie Armstrong just wanted to look in the back of his truck, but a crazed squirrel had other plans. Robbie lives in Sarasota, and he was walking to his truck when video shows a small squirrel darting down a path. It jumps up and lands on his arm and starts biting him on the elbow.
Was it a rabid squirrel?
No. There's actually a story behind this squirrel. So Robbie was left with a small cut on his arm and a bunch of scratches. But this wasn't Robbie's first encounter with this particular squirrel. Robbie's neighbors had actually nursed it from a baby. When it got older, they released it because it had become too aggressive. And it has previously attacked his neighbors and his stepson. So it's just a psycho squirrel.
They took care of the squirrel and that's how it repays them?
Yeah, so the good news is Robbie won't need rabies shots and the neighborhood is taking it good-naturedly. However, they are on the lookout for the crazed squirrel and hope that it will
There's something to tell you.
That it will calm down soon, so I hope so.
Yeah. Your squirrel, the one you raised from an infant, it's crazy.
Yes.
It's mentally damaged. We've got to put it down.
Robbie?
So this is our soap opera moment in the Bizarre File.
Oh, and I'm gay.
Oh, and that too. All right.
What does that have to do with the squirrel?
I don't know.
All right. We need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Fran Dunphy on.
Yeah.
The final day of him as head coach of Temple men's basketball just happened. And we'd just like to say thanks and just check in with him. And he's such a great guy.
Such a great guy. And I was thinking about, as we're doing the Daily Rush Madness and the videos of the camp out. And, he's a wry sense of humor, always been a great part of that event. And, while we're sorry to see him go, it'll be good to talk to him. And
yep.
Just give him a little love.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break. Come back in just a moment with the coach. Stay with us. We shall return shortly.
The Preston and and Steve show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Our next guest, our friend. I like to say he's our friend, right?
Yeah. I would hope he'd feel the same way because we love this guy.
Well, we've had a great relationship over the years. Always comes out of the camp out for hunger to be a part of our Papa Shot Challenge. Never walked away with the championship Golden Cup, though, unfortunately.
But always made it a blast.
Mm-hmm. And has done some great things in this city. And not 100% retiring. That's
no,
the thing.
Which is great.
Stepping down from the head coaching position at Temple men's basketball. But let's welcome him on board. Ladies and gentlemen, Coach Fran Dumphy is on the line. Good morning, Coach.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing pretty good. Hey, first of all, sorry. I know you probably wanted to go out a different way, not losing in that first game, but, you know, it is what it is, and you've had plenty of ups and downs. And how does that feel? Do you have some mixed emotions that you guys
bittersweet
got knocked out that early?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we wrote it on the blackboard the whiteboard, I guess, on the bottom. Just let's make our way to Jacksonville. We would have played Maryland tonight, so that was the goal. And anytime you don't reach that, obviously you're disappointed. But you're more disappointed for those seniors, particularly Shiz Austin and Ernest Blackburn, that their careers are now over, and there's an empty feeling when the season is finally over, and then it's more empty when it's your last college basketball game. So I feel for those guys for sure.
What are your thoughts on that whole process of a play-in game? Because it seems weird for there to be a play-in game for a non-16 seed.
Yeah, well, it's just the whole process. If I had my druthers, to be honest with you, I would like to see a first four in each region, so that now you would bump it up to 80 teams and more kids would get a chance to be in the NCAA tournament. So I think it's terrific in some ways. I think it's would it be better if we were just maybe the 12 seed and we got a chance to play Maryland right away in the first round? Yeah, that's okay. But we had a chance to play a team like Belmont, who's a very good basketball team, and we had our chances. If we were talking on the phone after a win, then I'd be excited and ready to go.
Right.
Tell us all about.
Hey, so listen, it's, you know, 13 seasons with Temple, 17 seasons with Penn. You've been a basketball coach for probably at least three quarters of your life. And, you know, college basketball coaching at that level is a true grind. And I have a friend of mine who attempted to do that after he got out of college, and the grind was what turned him away from it. And I guess some guys are just built for it, and some guys are not, because not only are you coaching this team, but you're also teaching a class at Temple or a couple of classes, but you also have to do the recruiting thing. So what is that grind like?
It's fantastic, to be honest with you. If that's your way, if it's in your DNA, but you're always busy. You're always going somewhere. You're always doing something. And I think it's fantastic. Now, is it a grind? Yeah, it is. And it's hard on your families. It's hard on your constitution, but it's what we all live for. It's the competition is awesome. And that's what you miss when you're not involved in it. It's a phenomenal thing. And so I've loved every second of it. And I've been grateful to be given the opportunity by two great universities.
There's something I think innately pure about a college basketball coach, because you're dealing with an ephemeral situation. You invest the time in training, so you almost have to be and then they're gone. The skills have to be inherent in the coach exponentially, because you need to. You're bringing in newbies and getting them up to speed and then setting them free. It's not like they'll be around for 8 years. No. And I think that in itself presents, a skill set that is I think, unique in most sports. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, very much so. So when I did finish my last game, I probably got 20 texts from former players all over a bunch of guys who were all over the world playing the college, or
professional basketball, and many who just, you know, have managers and all the other ancillary people that you come in contact with. So that's the other thing. You meet so many folks and so many great young people who are doing or going to do their whole lives great work. And so it's phenomenal. It's been a blast for all these years. Now I got to try to find a way to replace it all.
You know what? It's an interesting point that you make there, Steve. You know, Fran, because as you you end each season, you say goodbye to these kids that you've taken under your wing and probably built a really great friendship with, and they go on about their way. The season ends, that's over, and you would think that maybe that's a great part of the job, because then you get a little bit more downtime after that. But there's a great line in the movie Hoosiers, where Gene Hackman first arrives at the school and he walks into the gym and he says out loud, "All right, let's see what kind of hand I've been dealt." And I would imagine the beginning of the season was probably like that for you every single year. And here we go again, and let's get started. And I would imagine that that's probably a pretty exciting part of the job as well.
You know, it is. But there's a change in college basketball that way. But because when the season ends, now what the new coaching staff will do is get together with these guys in another 10 days to 2 weeks, and they'll start in on, you know, individual instructions and trying to put some pieces together.
Right.
So all the guys that are coming back, you're already starting with them in mid-April toward the beginning of April. So you're already putting together what's going to happen for most of your guys next year. So there's not much downtime.
Okay.
Within it, so it's different. Back in the day, you're exactly right. We didn't get to see them again until October 15th, and it was a new beginning. Well, now you're able to work with these guys over the summer as well, so it's a little bit different. But there is a lot of saying goodbye to these kids, and for me, it'll be at graduation. I find myself being a marshal at graduation, which is an awesome thing as well.
Coach, I don't want to take away from any of the other players, but Shiz was sort of the standout guy this year and last year, and I've read some about him lately. Can you talk about what a great guy this was, not just an incredible basketball player, but I've read just some really impressive things about Shiz Alston as a human being, as a young man?
Yeah, and I whatever you've read has been pretty accurate. He is a good person, and he was a great leader in so many different ways, probably because of his goodness. He got along with everybody. He always had a smile for everybody. And you know, it's different in that locker room. You got to lead that locker room. And I thought he did a terrific, terrific job that way. And he certainly did a great job on the court too. I mean, we counted on him for everything. And he had the ball in his hands most of the time. And to the point where you're giving him, at this point in his career too, you're giving him a lot of ownership. All right, Shiz, what do you want to do? Where do you want this ball? Where do you want that screen set? And it's pretty fun to watch the trust that you then have within the team, but also with your best player.
You know, it was interesting. We were down at spring training for the Phils, and we had this conversation a couple of times. In the game of video game world, there's a whole bunch of now emphasis on sort of front office stuff and business management and the agents and all of that. And you're now focused in the classes you're teaching on stuff that is germane to that. How much is that expanding? Because I think a lot of kids are now kind of getting the bug, you know, as they're getting older, not necessarily being on the court, but being in the periphery. And are you finding a renewed enthusiasm for that?
Yeah, very much so. I think these young kids are the analytics world is absolutely taken over a lot in sports. And so I think it's interesting to watch. And there's so much information available for these young people to study and to get familiar with, and everybody's into sports. There's no question about it, especially the pro sports game and the NBA and NFL and Major League Baseball. It's just fun to watch how people are really into it. But the kids that I help teach in the classroom, there are plenty of really sports fanatics too, who have a lot of great information that could probably help those that are in it.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to ask, we looked up some information about you, Coach, and a little tidbit of info that I wasn't aware of is you've lived in the same house since 1984.
Yeah, it's sort of unheard of in our world.
Yeah, it is. You just love it that much, or what?
It's just that's how lucky I've been. You know, I came back to Philly in 84 or 85, and
We actually, because I was an assistant coach at American U when my wife and I bought the house, and we were kind of in it really scrambling for something at that point. But we bought the house. It was tremendous. And then I moved back to Philly to coach at LaSalle, and then I went to LaSalle to Penn as an assistant coach. And I got the head coaching job at Penn, and then I moved over to Temple. So just out of sheer luck. But there's a lot of jealous guys in my profession.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
It's been great. Great.
How lucky are we as I'll call us all Philadelphians, even though I live in Delco, that we have such a great college basketball program in the city of Philadelphia with Temple and Villanova and St. Joe's and you know, the Big Five, the City Six, and we have a professional basketball team as well. You know, there are some areas in this country that live and thrive simply on the college basketball program, but we have so many to choose from, and definitely people have their allegiances, but this time of year, some people will let their guards down. My wife, who went to St. Joe's, won't. You know, she's a Hawk, you know, and she has a hard time rooting for anybody else. But me, because I went to her Sinus, I have no, like, allegiance, so I just kind of root for everybody. Isn't that lucky of us?
I think it's fantastic. We have as good a sports town as there is in the world, and I think we're so fortunate that way. The other part of it is when you're a kid, you have all these exposures to every school, and so you grow up and you're more or less a fan of every team because you get so much attention for or with all these teams, and you become familiar with the players. And then when you finally do pick your school, oftentimes if you pick it in Philadelphia, you get to be, like your wife did, a fan of that school. But there are generic fans out there. That's why a place like the Palestra is still so popular.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the college basketball world was really here, and I give great credit to those ADs and administrators who started the Big Five in 1955.
Fran, on the same day that it was official that your head coaching days were over, the unfortunate news of Phil Martelli came down. We know you guys are all close and do charity events together and so forth. Have you had a chance to talk to him since that came down?
I did. Yeah, we spoke a couple of times, and he's my friend. He's my brother, and you know, you're wounded a little bit by it. There's no question about it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's something. Look, that all of you guys are, you understand. It's part and parcel. It's part of the job. It's fairly transient. Like you said, you've been very lucky to stay in the same area. But I thought that was, I really thought it was a drag that it came down on the same day.
Yes,
that you were going to be finished, and it kind of, you know, it was a two pronged story there, but you know, I guess
really should have won that game because he would have kept going.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Come on, no, but
yeah, I wish.
Did he have any inklings that that this is something that could have been a possibility this season?
I don't think so. I don't think so. They've had a couple of really difficult injury-filled years, not in terms of record and those kind of things. I think they've done an unbelievable job of bringing their team along. Even specifically last year, they had two guys hurt, and they finished the season as strong as anybody was playing in the city. And I'm so proud of all of the work that they have done, Phil and his staff, over the years. So, but there wasn't a lot of it, given what I know. But you're exactly right. It's part of what we go through. And, you know, it's just some of the issues that we deal with as college basketball coaches.
I was reading.
It still leaves us hurting.
Yeah, absolutely. I was reading an interview with Coach Wright, and he was talking about the whole situation about what happened. Obviously, you departing and with the firing, but you know, you could see it was in just the way he was describing the relationship with you guys and the brotherhood that it was a gut punch. And, you know, we would always say, having you out to the camp out for hunger, it, you know, such a, not only as was pointed out, you know, Casey's point that we have a wonderful situation here, but to be so well represented by coaches such as yourself and people who make the city proud, it's a moment in history. Now, obviously, things will go on and there's competent people coming in and there's always, you know, the focus on the athletes and making sure that they get through school and all that stuff. But it was a moment in time that I think will always be unique. You know, and well represented by you and the rest of the guys. Do you have that sense of, you know, a snapshot in time?
Yeah, a little bit. I you know, he's your brother, so you're worried about him a little bit, and not worried because he'll do phenomenal work for the rest of his life. He's one of those guys that has set the pace for all of us.
there's never been an issue where anybody, if you guys said, listen, we have this camp out for hunger and we need you to come down there. It's never yes or no. It's okay. When do you need us?
Yeah.
And he led the charge in all of that. And I can't tell you the number of things he's done for so many people over the years. So that part of it, and he's been a phenomenal basketball coach, but he's been a terrific, terrific leader in Philadelphia to do the charity work and the just giving back piece that is also instrumental in what it is that we do.
So this is probably a silly question, Coach, but are you going to be rooting for Villanova tonight?
Absolutely.
and is that
he's our friend. He's our brother.
Yeah.
Our brother. So what that guy and that program have done over the last 6 years is extraordinary. Absolutely extraordinary. And he's done it the right way. He's a good man. He's a good man.
So with you now, obviously, again, with a change like this, and change is the one guaranteed thing in life. Obviously, you're going to continue teaching. Anything else you've been sort of biting at the bit to do but have not been able to do because of the time constraints?
The unknown excites me a little bit. I'm not sure what's going to happen, and I'll look at all possibilities. A number of years ago, I had been trying to get a doctorate many years ago, but I never wrote the dissertation, which that's the hard part. Going to class is one thing. The hard part is doing all the research and filling in the missing pieces.
Right.
I should probably do myself a favor and try to finish it, not that I need to do it, but just from a satisfaction.
Sure,
sure.
Just out of curiosity, what's the topic for the dissertation?
Yeah, you know what? Back in the day, I was thinking about what college or professional athletes felt they owed back to their respective institutions and how could they give back and make their school better, that kind of thing. But the world has changed so much that I'm not sure what direction I would go in it at this point. So,
if I may suggest something, how about Bigfoot? Yes or no?
Oh, jury's still out on that.
Jury's still out.
Yeah, it could be very interesting.
No, I love that original dissertation concept though about giving back to the.
But hang on,
what?
Bigfoot would be a hell of a center, wouldn't he?
Yeah, God Almighty!
You're damn right. Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
All right, but in all seriousness, Coach. I think the biggest question with you stepping down is will Aaron McKee take part in the Papa Shot competition at the Camp Out for Hunger this year, and will you be there to show him the ropes?
I don't think I'll be there to show him the ropes. I don't want to get in on his territory, but I hope he does great and because he has 13 years of backing up me, who didn't do so well. You guys just let me know that. Well,
I tell you what, if he wins, we're going to make sure you get a golden jockstrap as well.
Yeah. No, we've already
I will display it prominently.
We've had everybody text in saying that Aaron will reign supreme for the next decade.
Unless, if they replace Phil Martelli with Jameer Nelson at St. Joe's, it's going to be a heated competition. It's always a heated competition.
Honestly, guys, listen, I know Jay Wright is a reigning champion, but that's because Steve Donahue was not there again this year. That guy is money. So as long as Steve Donahue's there, I think all bets potentially could be off.
I want all of them. If you are interested, the invitation will stand, Coach, for you to come on out. We'd love to see you there. You are in a hallowed hall of champions at the Camp Out for Hunger.
Yep.
Well, I appreciate what you guys do with that. It's a great week, and you guys do a phenomenal job, but it's all what we should be doing is giving back and trying to help some people who aren't quite as lucky as we are.
Nice. All right. Well, and by the way, speaking of giving back, Coaches versus Cancer, even though you won't be the head coach, you can still be involved in that, correct?
Very much so.
Excellent.
I'll do whatever they want me to do.
And I will see you at the events for sure. Definitely. All right, Coach. Well, listen, we just wanted to chat with you fresh after this and wish you well. And I'm sure we'll see you in the very, very near future.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Take care, appreciate it. Fran Dunphy, guys.
Great guy.
Men's basketball at Temple. I'm telling you, man. He's a class act.
He just said, I'll do whatever they want me to do. That's he doesn't blink twice when it comes to that type of thing.
And did you hear how he went on about Bigfoot?
What a surprise.
Yeah.
Well, he's done a lot of research.
Yeah. And that's a good point, Preston. He would make a monster center.
Are you kidding me? I mean, completely. You couldn't move.
Preston.
There's no way.
7 feet, 11 inches tall.
Wow.
has a great laugh. Yeah. I saw a movie. the documentary.
Yes. All right. Listen, we need to take a break. We got some more stuff to get to. A reminder that we are doing Preston and Steve's Daily Rush, Madness. We have taken our videos, 64 of them anyway. There's a lot of them, and we had to sift through the ones that we thought represented favorite moments from the show. And we've seated them, and we have them competing against each other. This hour's is of the privileged region. Regis wants to bang your fillings out versus Lindsay Lohan's chicken finger party. You can watch the videos. You can vote on them at WMMR.com.
So is it proper? Is it a breach of protocol to say your favorite in a particular? Do you let it breathe a little bit?
No, you could. Do you want to mention one?
Who did you like in these so far? Do you?
I voted Sir Stroming over Bill Weston's Two-Face.
Yeah,
I voted. So far, I've gone for the top seed.
Okay,
I voted Caitlyn Jenner's dinner party over me making up the number Faye. I voted for Regis Wants to Bang Your Fillings Out over Lindsay's Chicken Finger Party, although that was the closest one for me so far.
I think I'm right in line with you. Yeah.
But I tell you what, we'll take a break. We'll come back in a second, and we'll reveal what the next one is. We're doing five a day. All right?
Control everything.
Yep. We will be back in just a moment. Make sure that you stay with us, and we have another guest we're going to get to. We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Diamond jewelry doesn't have to be expensive. Have fun buying jewelry for someone you love and don't hate the price you pay. Feel the difference online at IHateStevenSinger.com with free shipping or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters. Why take a chance with anybody else?
Taking time for yourself isn't selfish, it's self-care. Schedule a massage or facial at your local Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa with a relaxing massage or refreshing facial for just $59.95 for first-time guests. Visit one of their 50 area locations or handandstone.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Let's match up a couple more of the vids.
It's time for Preston and Steve's Daily Rush
Matchup number four of the morning. One of our most popular moments, I think, is involved in this one. It's a number three seed, and it is representing the Hey Bitches region. We have Wigapalooza going up against number 14 seed, one of my favorites, actually, which is FDR's Knock Knock Jokes. Let me play a couple of quick clips just to refresh your memory, and then you can go vote at WMMR.com in Daily Rush Madness. Here is Wigapalooza.
Hey, Dr. Wainwright!
Can I help you, ladies?
Oh my God.
I think we got a yeast situation.
So, for those who may not be familiar, it's when we brought in various wigs for Steve to try on, made of real hair.
Gave me hair for a day.
And it gave Steve hair for a day. And that's one of those that you need to see.
Yes.
Because the whole Dr. Chet Wainwright thing all focused around a particular facial expression that Steve did.
And there's actually one, and I'd forgotten about it, Preston. In there is a sort of a tight-cropped, like,
Fro.
Yeah. And that's
great.
There's another reaction on that. And I'd forgotten about how many wigs I had on in that video.
Yep. So that is the first video. And the second one was the FDR knock knock jokes. I love this one. Here we go.
Knock knock. Who's there? The Japanese have bombed Pearl Harbor.
A lot of people don't remember that's how he broke the news to the nation.
Right.
A knock knock joke. And then it goes on to, you know, your sister manually stimulates random people in town.
Well, it was basically you were talking about the history of jokes and how the knock knock joke came into being, and a lot of people didn't know the history.
That is the one that got my vote in this particular matchup.
Way.
Yes. Yeah. I believe it or not, it's so funny. It's just, you know, vintage Steve Morrison, you know, just off the top of his head. It's so great. But I will say, and I will plead with anybody listening right now, to watch the videos before you vote. Don't just vote on the pictures or whatever.
It certainly makes...
You have all day.
You're a lot more invested if you do it.
Yep.
Yeah, the voting goes on all day. We'll reveal who the matchup winners were tomorrow. And there's one more to go after these, but just go to WMMR.com and get it all done. I could keep this music playing for our next guest.
Yeah, it actually works.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Philadelphia Union has the most rabid, fanatical fans in the world, as far as I can tell.
No competitors.
We've been to the games, and they are amazing. So we would like to welcome the co-captain of the Sons of Ben. This is Adam Booth, who is joining us. And And on the dupes, that's Rob, who's here. And he's he brought his drum in with him as well, which is, of course, you got to have at the games. And Fang is
Fang!
Here. Who is the mascot of the Philadelphia Union. Adam, how you doing, man?
I am fantastic.
Excellent. Hey, how did you become the co-captain of the Sons of Bat?
It was actually really funny. I went to a bunch of games when the team first started, but I was always in with the regular fans out in the normal sections. Mm-hmm. And I kept telling my buddies, like, oh, that looks dope. Like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
I was president of the student section back at St. Joe's, so it was like something where I was like, ah, this is a very natural thing. And
yep.
I went to one game. It was a road game at New York at the NYCFC at Yankee Stadium, and they stagnated our group for some reason into two groups, and they wanted our chants weren't really going, so I would just start to scream.
Okay.
And the head of the Sons of Ben was like, yeah, come up front and do that. You should,
nice.
You should come up front.
Sort of your audition. Yeah.
I didn't even know I was auditioning, and then he told me next game, you want to do this for a half or something? And then that's like a half of a season later, I've been doing it in every game.
Wow. Do you ever lose your voice from yelling so much?
Every single time.
Without
a doubt. I have like 7 packs of honey in the car when I'm leaving the game.
You're like a professional singer.
Yeah, it's that kind of level sometimes.
Well, wow. you'd be underselling it if you didn't. You leave it at the stadium.
You got to give them everything.
Yeah. I have a question. When you guys are out there and you're letting off like smoke bombs and stuff like that, is that sanctioned by the the venue or?
You know, we're actually we benefit a lot. Because we get away with a lot of things.
Yeah, you do.
You're like us.
We do not get away with. Like, we'll go to other stadiums. We'll go to New York. We'll go to D.C. We'll go to New England because, like, New England plays in Gillette.
Yeah.
So they play in where the Patriots play, and they have entirely different sets of rules for MLB, for the NFL. So we have to play within those rules when we go to away games at home. Like, they let us get away with a lot.
No, and we were talking about this last night, and it was a great experience. You know, I was not that much into soccer. Yeah, it's fun. Then you go, and like, oh, man, this is the way to see it. And not only are you getting the game, which is, to me, is a wholly other perception when you're there in person. Stadium is great. But you guys are putting on a whole other concurrent show that's going on, and there's a level of involvement. And Preston, I think you're right. I don't know, you know, we have major sports in the city, and they're all wonderful. But Jesus, you're talking about a movement that you guys have created, and it's infectious.
Yeah, like, I have season tickets to the Sixers. Like, I go to all the teams: Flyers, Eagles, Phillies. And for the life of me, I think the Union are the most fun during a game that I have, because like I keep telling people, it's a weird sing along with a lot of drinking that the soccer game breaks out. It's just a really, really good time.
How long does it take for people to learn what the words are for the sing along? Because I've been to many Union games, and half the time I'm like, oh yeah, I can get this one, and then the other half I have no idea.
You know, we are actively working on making a more comprehensive list and like, website and
can you get screen time on the displays at all?
We don't have enough displays really. To be honest with you, but we're working on revamping the website and our other social media. Ideas to get everyone involved, because we've struggled with that in the past. It's kind of
all right. Can anybody sit in the Sons of Ben section?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But you better participate if you're going to be in that area, right?
We have rules. We do have rules, and they're printed on the back of the ticket, despite how many times people don't read them. But you can't wear red because our biggest rival is New York Red Bulls. So can't do that.
You guys are the Crips then,
and basically they are the Bloods.
The Crips of soccer. Crips.
Yeah, yes. we're holding it down.
Yes, yeah,
down.
Yeah.
But we you can't do the red in the river end, and you have to stand. You have to do the chanting, and it's like we get a nice little mix of families in there sometimes. So you don't really want to push them too hard to be like, yeah, you're 5-year-old. We don't need them standing and cursing the entire day.
Yeah, yeah.
But if they could, that'd be nice.
It certainly helps.
Benefit. It'd be cool.
And you guys have a game on Saturday, playing Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
And it says here tickets start at just $25.
Yeah, so we're doing a really good promotion right now because we definitely want to get more people in the city involved with what we're trying to do. Because again, as Steve even mentioned, you know, you go, you get hooked. You know, you go. It's an experience.
I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Even if you're just, oh, I should check that out sometime. When you go, you'll be hooked.
Exactly. So we're doing right now with the Sons of Ben with us. We do a great tailgate before every game. We're right next to the stadium. You get there. You can choke on some smoke really early in the right, day. Yeah. You know, you can hear the drums. You can enjoy all that, and we're doing it for $25. So you can do the tailgate with us, get a seat in the River End. You get to see me scream my head off for a couple of hours, and you know, hopefully beat Columbus. And it's a really good time. And we have a really quality team right now. They're just kind of starting to gel, get their legs under them, and I think the season's going to go really well for us.
When you're there, just as a thing that caught me right from the first time I was there, and then subsequent times, is that, you know, obviously if you watch it on television, which is fine,
yeah.
But when you see the distance covered at the speed that it's being covered, you take on a whole new appreciation for the constant running. Yeah. And the athleticism involved.
Oh yeah, it's like watching a marathon
with
gentle stops in between. Right. Like you're watching a midfielder go from box to box, and you're wondering, like, there's no timeouts. You only get three subs, so it's like this dude will be participating for the next 45 straight minutes in running.
Amazing.
And they have those trackers now and all those, like, those Fitbits, and they're just like, here's how many kilometers this guy covered in the course of a game. You're just like, I didn't do that in 2 weeks.
So it's
incredible to watch.
Tickets can be gotten through ticketleap.com, so you can be a part of the, you know, the whole thing. It's it like like Adam was saying, in the River End, and be a part of the craziness of it all. Did I read correctly that you guys have some presentation for us today or something like that? No? Okay. It says that we were going to be honorary members.
Oh, yes. Okay, yes.
There you go.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Does this involve bloodletting?
I was at the Sixers last night. I apologize. Yes. No, we wanted to make everyone here honorary members of the Sons of Ben.
I think we'd had it once before, but I think that it may have lapsed. So
yes, your membership did expire.
Okay,
so
is there anything we need to do?
We need to take an eye test.
There is a bloodletting clause. Other than that,
you get a knife.
Not exactly right. You guys are in. We know the passion of this show, so this is a seamless transition.
And I have banged the drum down there in the Sons of Ben section.
Oh,
it's pretty damn cool.
Did you get tired?
No.
Okay.
Well, I didn't do it for an hour.
You rocked it, though.
I played a song. And
they asked me if I wanted to do it. I said, do you not know Preston's drumming capabilities?
Well, very, very cool. So, and by the way, let me remind people that the Sons of Ben get involved with a lot of charity as well. Help Kick Hunger, the Stash Bash, there's a whole bunch of different things you guys do.
Oh, yeah, we're doing a 50-50 raffle at this game. We're benefiting one of our local charities as well. So we love getting into, well, first the community, because we love Chester.
Yeah.
We know it's a unique experience coming down to Delco and coming down to Chester to hang out with us, and we like to give back to that area as much as humanly possible.
It's great. It's great. I mean, as proud as we are of the team, we're proud of what you guys do over there. You really make it a fun experience for anyone who goes.
Well, thank you. We're trying. We're trying.
Well, thank you. And once again, it's ticketleap.com. Get those tickets. And it's the Union's playing Columbus, the Columbus Crew, on Saturday at 7:30. And let me see. Weather. Looks good. No rain. We're going to get rain today and tomorrow, but tomorrow should be solid for the game. And even if it rains, doesn't matter anyway, right?
You guys have fun regardless.
Yeah. Nice.
Rain's never stopped anyone.
I believe it. All right. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Thank you.
Philadelphia Union, Sons of Ben. Hey, I want to ask you guys about last night. You had that event with Brent Celek.
It was a great time, Case, right?
Yeah.
At Worldwide Stereo in Ardmore.
Yeah, so they're in Montgomeryville and then Ardmore. I was glad to be at the Ardmore location because it was, from 6 to 8. And so it was, as far as traffic was concerned,
it was really
great for me. But, man, what an amazing showroom. So the first thing I noticed when I walked in there, Steve, was the TV in the mirror. And that was actually the first thing that Brent Celek had noticed. He walked right up to that.
So the tech there, and this is where we were talking. It was a mandate. So we were talking tech. We were showing off some of the stuff at Worldwide Stereo. Bob Cole and the whole crew was over there. Brent came by, but you're right. The second Brent walked in, Preston, there's a mirror in the Ardmore store. It looks like just a mirror. Mm-hmm. But you go over, you touch it, and the TV screen comes up, or basically a computer interface for your Facebook and all that stuff. And Brent was transfixed. And he's a big tech dude, too, because he's building a house right now.
Yeah, what we found out last night was that when Brent had basically first started college, his parents put a movie theater in their house.
Yes, and he was... he was going away. He didn't get to enjoy. Only when he came home, but
he didn't get the full enjoyment out of it. He got a little bit of it, but he's the oldest of all the kids, so he was able to go back to it. But so when he went to the Philo Farnsworth Theater, that that experience was not, you know, new to him, as new as it was to me. That was amazing. That theater in there, Steve, if you can talk about that.
Yeah, so this is what I think maybe the one of, if not the only one in the country that's to such ultra-high specifications as far as there's no IMAX theater that is it's superior in sound. I mean, when you sit in there, and we did test stuff like, Preston, the first race in Ready Player One.
Yeah.
We did the Stones concert is it the Gimme Shelter concert where they had all the celebrities? And
they
had U2 and Fergie and the whole thing. So we did that. And then I said, listen, if you really want to blow out the system and show what it can do as far as placement, the first attack in Master and Commander.
Oh, yeah.
And, man, they were crapping themselves.
You'd actually be ducking.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Reacting from those cannonballs hitting.
Yeah. And it was just great. And, you know, I want to thank also, Preston, the folks over at Ardmore Primo Hoagies. They're listeners of the show, big fans, and they dropped off food. So
that's awesome.
It was great.
So at the end of the... I guess you could call it an event. They had a Gran Turismo competition between all the winners there. And I'm going to give a shout out or a shout out to Dennis Wells, who won the whole thing.
And he got to beat Brent, who's pretty good.
So he beat all the other listeners over there. This guy, Dennis Wells, who he ended up winning an autographed helmet and stuff. And then he got to play Brent. And apparently it was neck and neck until the very, very end. At the end of the race, they were, like, right next to each other. And then this guy, Dennis, ended up winning the whole thing.
Steve, you know how we always say that Kathy could probably live in a Target or at least camp for a night?
Yeah.
Do you think you could do that at Worldwide Stereo?
No question. I honestly, when they were blowing out the stuff, I said to Casey, I said, you've been up in my setup. So all my stuff comes from Worldwide. The other night I was watching a movie and I have the new SVS, which is the big subwoofer, the big mofo. My wife came downstairs and, you know, she has a bathtub sitting on tile up in her bathroom. It had moved off the tile.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, from the vibration.
Might want to turn it down a bit.
Yeah.
I said, and I was watching Manchester by the Sea.
No, I mean, clearly, when you walk into the store and you look at the showroom, like, all right, there is a lot of really nice high-end stuff here.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't let that deter anybody from going
in there. No.
I mean, listen, they have totally affordable, you know, great stuff. But the thing I want to point out most is the people there that are selling you these items – know what they're talking about.
Right, yeah.
Now, for instance, I was in a big box store not that long ago, and I had a 17-year-old high school senior showing me around and showing me the ropes, as opposed to somebody like Bob Cole, who has been doing this for 40 years.
Gets consulted on the design of this stuff.
I mean, he builds things. You know, they have these big, you know, consumer electronica conventions. He's like the keynote speaker. That's kind of the guy I want. You know,
well,
show
you know,
me the ropes.
Bob has said he's at one sometime is going to take me on one of these things, and I think we're going to make love.
Yeah. Oh,
I think so.
Really? You're kidding me?
Yes.
Oh, I wanted to. Thank you.
I really like this TV set. I want to give you a handy.
Wow.
My name is Samsung Sony. I'm a transfer student from Japan.
You just got a free TV set. cool.
It was great time. And I love the mandate stuff like that. We need to do more things like that because it's and there was a wife there who wanted for her husband.
You know what we need to do? Something that we have neglected upon doing.
Yeah.
And that is we need to critique Bill Weston's radio program yesterday.
Oh, all right.
As he filled in for Pierre Robert. We're going to air what we call in the business air check him.
So we have three studios in a row right here. We're in the President Steve studio, and then behind us is the main MMR studio, and then behind that is the booth studio. And I was doing some audio work in there yesterday, and while I was doing that work, I couldn't hear the on-air signal, but I could look through the window and watch Bill.
See
and,
the gestures?
Oh, my God, Kathy. I couldn't even see his head, but I could tell that he was on air. And Casey, I
assumed that Vogue is playing in the studio, right?
Yeah.
Casey, I thought about taking video, but I didn't want to be a jerk about it, you know, because he was working. He was filling in for Pierre, who couldn't be here, who was sick.
But man, was it entertaining just to watch him move his hands and do what Bill does.
Is he here? Because I feel like he should have to sit through the critique like we have to sit through his.
He's our Beto O'Rourke, you know, with his hand gestures, the same deal in flailing. But Preston, I heard him. So I was sitting back in our office, and a lot of times you can hear Pierre, but occasionally you'd hear a flare up like, but you know what? And I got some people who tweeted out and sent messages. Bill's good on air. He's totally Bill.
Well, let's find out. All right. I have these clips here, and we'll start with this one, which was 1 minute and 1 second long. We're gonna, you know, we got to go for time here as well.
Wow, oh,
right, yeah. Tight and bright,
right? You know, tight and bright. Yeah. More platter, less chatter.
All right. There's no way we're gonna go through all these.
No.
And, but well, let's play the first.
It depends on how they are.
Here we go.
93.3 WMMR. Okay, hold on. We wish Pierre well. He's taking the day off. He'll be back tomorrow. It's okay. Things are going to be fine. We're going to play lots of music, and we're giving away a pair of tickets to see the Black Keys. How's that sound? They're coming to town later this year, and you can win them before you can buy them right on this very program. My name is Bill Weston, kind of trying to figure things out, but I figured let's get off to a good start here, give away some tickets to the Black Keys, and qualify you to see them in Miami later this year. We'll fly you down there, put you up in a hotel for a couple of nights, get you to meet the band before the show. Very cool experience. But to see them here in Philadelphia, tickets are going on sale this Friday, I believe. You can win them right now. 215-263-WMMR.
All right, don't call now. This is a recording.
Let's give away 9 tickets. 10 sounds too desperate.
Do the 10th caller, okay?
Caller 10?
Simple for
you might
simple
have
operators.
Your break,
what's that?
You might want to have your break thought out there, Bill. You know, you don't say things like, well, I believe.
Not quite sure. I don't even know if we have these tickets to give away.
You ought to know.
Here, thank you for joining us here at WMMR. Here's the new one from Black Keys. It's called Low High.
Totally fine. And I think most of the breaks are on the. I asked Marissa because she scoped a lot of it. She said it's pretty good.
Okay.
Let me ask you, though, Preston.
Mm-hmm.
23 seconds in, that's when he identified himself.
Yeah, that's a little late. Right. You know, these people tuning in, they're tuning out.
People want to know who you are. Yeah, exactly. They want to attach to the music through the station. You're the one curating.
And you want to add a human element to it.
Yeah, a lot of people turn
live
away.
Live and local, Kathy.
They're like, I don't know who this is.
Yeah, they
click.
Click.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, somebody, see somebody doing that?
Yep.
I'm motioning with my finger.
You got to grab
them. Pushing the button.
Low-hanging fruit. Third leg of the stool.
Grab them by the low-hanging fruit.
Grab by the low-hanging fruit.
All right, here's the next clip.
Headlining MMRBQ 2019, that's Shinedown. Don't forget, it's an MMRBQ weekend this weekend. We're going to play a lot of music from all of the bands playing in May and giving away.
And he said MMRBQ, but he didn't identify the radio station.
Or himself.
What's going on here?
You
don't have to identify yourself every single time.
But who is this doing?
Oh, Bill's here.
This isn't Pierre.
Who is this guy?
You don't say your name every break. It gets, you know.
I agree. But you ought to use the call letters and positioning statement usually.
No, you don't need to. In the advent of PPM, you don't need to say it first. You should say it once during a break, but it doesn't have to be first.
Okay. All right.
Fair enough. Here we go.
Some tickets to the show. Join the party. I hate this.
It's like I'm thinking of your like St. Louis Broadcasting School air checks with a pizza. It's like, and how much you must hate to hear that.
Hold on, we did say you're good on air.
Nobody likes to hear themselves on the air.
Oh, wait, speaking of that, of Preston's tape, you did call somebody a cool cat, and don't you say that in one of your clips?
Yeah, Joe Satriani.
He's something cat. Watch out for him.
Watch out for him. Yeah, I heard Bill yesterday.
This cat really knows how to play guitar.
Bill said cool cat. Best tasting little morsels I have ever had in my life.
Somebody said you said tasty morsels yesterday.
No.
Did you?
Did I? I don't think. How long has this been going on? I've been off.
Wait, no, just started. About 5 minutes.
Yeah. This is only your second.
Great.
It's only your second break of like 15 of them that we have here. So.
Now you want to move on?
It's okay. Yep. Bill Weston is in for Pierre. He's taking the day off today. And my favorite comment that I've received about my performance thus far is one guy says, come on, Bill. We know you want to take your shoes off and walk in the grass while you're on the show today. And then there's another one that says, it sounds like the janitor stopped in and took over. That's great. Thank you very much. All right. Congratulations to Rosie Thus.
A little self-deprecation. That's nice.
Good people like
Langhorn.
That.
Yeah. She picked up a pair of tickets to see the Black Keys before they go on sale Friday.
He did refer to himself in the third person, though, by the way. He didn't say, this is Bill Weston. He said, Bill Weston is in for Pierre Robert. It's a little pompous.
That is. Yeah. Third-person references are not good. I'm starting to perspire. Nobody... Bill Weston's here. Bill Weston likes the music.
Bill Weston to the rescue.
Why don't you write Bill Weston and let Bill Weston know how he is doing here?
BillWeston.com.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We should put the lacrosse guys by again.
They were soccer, but you know.
Bill Weston got the sport wrong.
We're all still right here.
Fang. Bill Weston. Fang is about to. I just got my ass kicked by a mascot. Yeah.
You want to move on to the next one, Press?
All right, go ahead.
It's not much there.
All right, here's the next one. This one's 2 minutes long.
Oh, Jesus. My God. What are you talking too much?
Oh, my God.
93.3 WMMR.
Very good.
I'd like to read from Bell Book and Candle.
Audio Slave.
It took you 4 seconds.
And you hear Chris's voice, and you're just reminded about the sadness, you know, of losing such a talented and a friend of the station, too. Another one was Chester.
Talented and friend of the station, okay.
Who would be celebrating his 43rd birthday today. So we're going to do something special on vinyl for that. Workforce Blocks are coming up at noon. We've got The Clash, Dave Matthews Band, and Metallica.
Bill Weston likes. Yeah. A
couple of good teases there.
Great blocks for you there. And, yes, this is not Pierre Robert. It's Bill Weston. And we're going to just run on the ship, trying to keep things on an even keel. Want to let you know that portions of the program today are brought to you by Planet Fitness. You can get the Planet Fitness Black Card and bring a workout buddy with you every visit. There you go. So we back some
you
good
have a
music.
Good voice, Bill. Yeah, you do. Though I'd recommend against using nautical terms like even keel.
I sound kind of raspy. And
no,
I
you,
like,
you have a good voice. You really do.
You're like the cool church reader. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Although I noticed a lip smack and a hard consonant. You know where you try to draw out a hard consonant.
Were you having fun?
Like, from that and a cake, you know, where you like draw hard consonants. It's like I hear part-time jocks do it all the time. Yeah. Like, you know, soft consonants.
What's your biggest pet peeve from a jock? What just drives you crazy?
Oh, that's a good question. They say the same thing multiple times, and it takes the break. Oh, it's like, look, if somebody's listening, they're going to hear it the first time you say it. But if you repeat it, it's like they're not listening anywhere. They're like half listening. They're in the car. They're distracted. Whatever. And the radio is just on. Like if somebody's engaged and listening to what you have to say, they'll hear it. So say it once the best way you can.
You just said that for the second time, by the way.
1-0 Casey.
I'll say this, though. We have a stellar collection of jocks.
We do.
You know? I mean, honestly, and you know, like, and I, you listen to the economy of words of like, Sarah does a great job with her word economy, and you know, Pierre obviously is
she
Pierre.
Leans a little too heavily on that Slayer drop. You know, other than that, I really like what she does on the air.
I like this. Always...
critiquing during his critique.
Jesus, nice guy. Jesus was a nice guy, but his feet were dirty.
This person writes in. He's no Robin Lee, but he did a good job.
Yeah.
No, Sarah's a very well thought out jock. She knows what she wants to say. So that's she's very, very good in that.
Lord regard. God Almighty, very powerful, but I'm not so sure about jellyfish.
Here's the thing, like a novice jock will try to add too much and will say things like, you know, it's 45 degrees right now downtown outside, you know, and I hope all you guys out there are enjoying this day today where you can just say, hey, it's 45 and we're having a good time today.
Yeah.
And just cut it down to that.
We used to have a memo in this one radio station I was a jock at. It was called the Saturday Format. And it's basically how jocks would take 20 seconds to tell you that it's Saturday. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, there is a level of pressure. That is hard to if you're even remotely terrified of public speaking, and there you are without any feedback or anybody to talk to or bounce over. What we do here conversationally, it's a whole other art being a standalone jock.
When you're by yourself and it's you and the audience and the microphone, you're very exposed. When you say things, if you say something unintentionally or make a mistake, it is magnified in your own head 10 times.
You don't have Casey there to, like, you know, jump all over it and make fun of it.
Yeah, and then you have to continue talking, and while you're continuing talking, you're thinking about the mistake you just made.
Yeah.
And it's easier to make more mistakes that way. It's hard. It's more difficult than it seems.
Miles Davis,
like most jobs are.
Miles Davis has this line. It's like, it takes a lot of practice to play like yourself.
Right. Right? Yes.
So I use that line with part-time jock feedback. It's like, just sound like yourself. Be natural and be enthusiastic, but don't hype me. Don't try to sound like someone you're not.
All right. Here's the next clip. Here we go.
Oh, we got to do more of this?
One more.
Oh, no, we'll do one more.
Six more.
So cool. I love that song. The Raconteurs, a 93.3 WMMR. And the first time I heard that play in the station, Preston debuted it and was insightful enough to say it's all about the Beatles, Drive My Car. And it's like, yeah, Sunday Driver, yeah. Get it.
Cool.
Good stuff. Rolling through a music marathon. It's a Pumpkins, an MMR.
Yeah.
Bill Weston likes.
All right. Yeah, that was a good break.
How come you ended at 2?
Huh?
Why did you end at 2 yesterday?
Because I was I had other stuff to do, and Sarah was in. I said, Sarah, I'm covering the last hour. I'll let you do Linkin Park on vinyl.
So. Bill Weston's run out of words.
Well, he's got to program 2 stations.
No, it's a lot to do. Yeah, but it seems when I passed by, it seems like you were having fun.
I have not DJed in over 13 years. I would love to try it. I was terrible to begin with, but I would I'd like to get another go at it.
Would you book him on the weekend?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
I think
let me try and front sell this one.
Right. 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks. It's Casey Boy here coming at you with the greatest band ever walked the earth. This is Third Eye Blind, Semi-Charred Life.
Semi-charred life?
You know,
it's the first attack.
I got a dip in, Preston.
Hey, it's a great story that's behind this. Apparently the guy got set on fire during a fuel leak.
Wait a minute, you're dipping while you're doing...
I'm a multitasker, Preston.
Sorry, I got a lot of tobacco in my mouth.
Let me try that again.
Oh, my God.
93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks. It's Casey Boy here, just puking right at you. Yeah. It's Third Eye Blind. Semi-trumped life. MMR rocks.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you want to hit the post.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right.
All right. Well, anyhow, you're off today, right? No no air shift.
Pierre's back, thankfully. Okay.
He had his eyes put back in.
We
and
thank
he's all
our,
good.
Our gracious listeners for giving me the opportunity.
Pierre, wait a minute.
Broadcast day.
We have a listener who did want to comment on something you said yesterday. Hi, Kenny. You're on the air. Good morning. Hey, Kenny.
Hey, Richie.
Hey, what? What's up, buddy?
Yeah. I just remember hearing Bill go, "And now, big juicy block of metallic."
Did you say that?
I probably did.
Yeah, you gotta find that one.
Big right. Juicy block of metallic. We need that.
Yeah. Thanks.
I wish I could have come up with another modifier other than juicy.
All right, whip it out. We got some Metallica.
All right.
By the way, somebody texted and said, if Bill would have said, Santa's got to go when he signed off, I would have pissed my pants.
You missed a perfect out.
Yeah. I think that's yours. That's your all thing. Right.
What was your shift when you were Wild Bill?
That was afternoon.
Okay.
Afternoon drive. Those days are long gone.
Right. Did you work all over the clock, though, throughout your career? Because I did every shift on the clock.
I started overnight,
yep.
Right? And then did 7 to midnight.
That's when you were Wild Bill after dark.
I was Scott Reynolds.
Scott Reynolds?
In Erie, Pennsylvania.
Really?
Yay! Hey, had a singing jingle. I should fly
Scott Reynolds on K104.
Yeah.
I had one of those. Why Scott Reynolds?
Oh, because some guy thought it was like this waspy, like non-offensive, non-ethnic name.
Bill
that
Weston
everybody
Scott
Reynolds,
yeah. Yeah, the very Italian Bill Weston sound, you know?
Was it a top 40 format?
Yes.
Okay, so let me ask you this. When the jingle would sing your name, and there's usually like a little pause and then the call letters are sung, would you just, Scott Reynolds, hey, that's me. Yeah.
I would do
that.
I wish I had the guts to do that. The PD did just like, run the thing, run the song.
Right. Shut
keep
up.
It tight.
I would jump in during my Kenny Knight jingle.
Did you see that Rachel used to work, who used to work here for the MM Army, she is out doing a radio show somewhere, but that I guess maybe they changed her name or whatever. So
it's Rachel Rocks.
Okay.
R-O-X-X-X.
Cool.
No, just R-O-X, I think.
X-X-X would be something different.
She texted me, and she got critiqued the other day by the PD. Apparently, she said D-pick, but she didn't say D.
Oh, no.
Said the actual word. She didn't get in trouble or anything like that, but that was her first air check.
She's in Kansas.
Marissa, she wants us to play this last break, and then we gotta move on.
All right, Santa's
gotta go.
All right, here we go.
23 WMMR, one of the announced bands for the 50th Woodstock conflagration that's going on. In
conflagration.
Conflagration. I don't know.
Is that a word?
It's conflagration.
Is it conflagration? Thank you, Steve.
And it's
conflagration that's going on in outside Ithaca, New York this summer.
A big explosive fire.
Complete details on the lineup and such at WMMR.com. Let us continue our music marathon. There's Bush and MMR.
That big analingus that's going on.
Conflagration.
You added a syllable.
I did.
Conflagration.
Yeah. Well, it took me
fire,
which took
destroys
you guys
a great deal.
You helped me correct my mispronunciation of prostate.
Right? Prostrate.
I said it's
prostrate. That's
okay. Right. So is that why Marissa, that was the big finish, Marissa?
That was the big finish. Yeah. All in all, I give Bill a solid B.
Right. A solid B.
Solid B, for sure. Right.
Thank you very much.
And because it was last minute, you did it.
Solid.
Yep. Bill Weston, man about time.
Glad to help.
He is our he's our boss, and he's a fellow jock.
He's sweating.
I know that feeling.
Kathy, where do you get your blowouts?
He needs one.
Yeah.
Gravity.
All right, we got to take a break. You know what? I am going to give away my last Tets tickets that we have for Clubber's Kids. Is that all right?
Yeah,
Alexis,
buddy.
Texas. She's performing tomorrow night at the Philadelphia location. She's in town tonight as well. In fact, three locations. You can go to clubberskate.com for information on all the performances. But let's take the first four callers. You got to be at least 21 years of age, but this is for the Philly location of Clubber Skate. 215-263-WMMR. The number will be back in just a moment. B5 coming up next.
93.3 WMMR presents a killer co-headlining summer concert with rock trailblazers Alice Cooper. Friday, August 16th at BB&T Pavilion with Motionless in White. Pre-sale happening today at WMMR.com while supplies last. Tickets on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. Ticketmaster.com. Win free tickets all this week with Jackson. Alice Cooper and Hailstorm, August 16th at BB&T Pavilion. Presented by 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
We got our first fully filled out bracket for Daily Rush Madness, and now I got to give a plug to Jim Nyes over at Big Jim Sports on Twitter, and he filled it out all the way. So if you want to fill it out, you certainly can do it. There's a print your bracket thing, and Jim surprisingly has Donkey Pupe winning the whole thing.
Donkey Pupe.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. But listen, everybody's got their own favorites, and that's what this is all about.
And we tried to be cognizant of all the variations, whether something was just purely a stunt or whether it was organically funny or whether it was in the moment. And then there are some people, Preston, who just simply love when you lose it. Mm-hmm. And can't stop laughing.
And
so those are all the judging parameters.
Yeah, and I'm sure that we've missed a few along the way. But you know what? That just leads it open for doing it again sometime if we want to.
Yeah.
So it's all good. Bizarre File, let's do this now.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
We spend so much time critiquing Bill Weston's show that we don't have much time for the Bizarre File. We got to keep this short. I'm sorry. It's brought to you by the LLS. Big Climb Philly. Join Nick McElwain and Team Luke on April 13th for the LLS Big Climb Philly. Team Luke is going to be climbing 47 floors at the top of the FMC Tower to help find a cure to cancer. Join the Team Luke or donate at BigClimbPhilly.org. Well, this was a shame. An Italian container ship bound for Brazil while carrying some 2,000 cars, including some 36 Porsches, caught fire and sank in the Atlantic Ocean just off the coast of France last week.
They have pictures of it, Preston. The thing's engulfed in flames, but dear God, all those cars.
All 27 crew members aboard were rescued by the British military. The vessel ran aground southwest of Brest, France, at a depth of 15,000 feet beneath the surface of the ocean. What's that?
15,000 feet?
Can you go down 15,000 feet?
Are we going to Marianas?
In that area?
Yeah, that's,
that seems
a little weird.
So anyhow, Porsche...
Centimeters.
Porsche
confirmed
that the doomed vessel was carrying four models of the 911 GTS RS. Each vehicle carries a retail price of $293,000.
Unbelievable.
And they lost dozens of them. The company wrote a letter to its Brazilian customers informing them that they would reproduce the model, especially for them. They wrote, Porsche ended the 911 GT2 RS production in February, and under normal circumstances, it wouldn't be possible to give you another car. But due to the nature of the situation and considering that you're loyal and highly valuable customer to our brand, Porsche has decided to resume the production in Germany, and your vehicle will be produced in April with delivery scheduled for June. So they're going to remake those, even though they are ready to discontinue them.
I mean, obviously, they were insured, but a lot of work.
A Texas homeowner who reported seeing a few snakes under his home actually had dozens of rattlesnakes living beneath his house. Big Country Snake Removal, which was called in to help, said that the homeowner crawled under his home after strong winds disrupted his cable television service. He saw a few snakes and quickly crawled out and contacted the snake removal company. Workers later pulled 45 rattlesnakes from underneath the house.
It was straight out of Indiana Jones.
Yeah, we have audio of the snakes if you want to hear what
this sounds
like.
Listen towards the end and you'll hear them all start to rattle.
Crawled under this house. You can see there's a baby there, one there. There's one right in front of me here. There's several over there. There's a huge
You can hear them.
Right there. There's some really big snakes in there. There's just snakes everywhere under here.
Here we go. Those are rattles.
So this is our first big one, a big male.
That's my nightmare.
Those are rattles from rattlesnakes. That's crazy. Oof. Video shows numerous large snakes coiled up as workers use long poles to pull the animals out. Snakes will be slithering out from underneath Texas homes as the weather warms up, increasing the risk of snake bites, by the way. All right, one last story, and then that's all we have time for. Sorry about that.
You know what, Press?
What?
At this point, it's all lost anyway, so go ahead. Finish it out.
Well, I'm going to do one more story. Right. And unless we need to break right now.
No. I mean, it's already too late. So.
Okay. So let's go with this one. An officer with the Seattle Police Department is recovering after he was stabbed in an apartment building. Police were dispatched to an apartment complex after receiving reports of ongoing issues with a man. The man had reportedly wrapped raw meat around a neighbor's door handle, urinated on the linoleum outside the door, and smeared toothpaste on the peephole.
What?
Yeah.
That's great.
tenants of the apartment complex told police the suspect's behavior had become increasingly erratic. The tenants told police the suspect was roaming a common area, and they were initially afraid to come out of their apartments to let the officers in.
Imagine you're just trying to live your life, and there's this guy running around doing this crap.
When officers approached the suspect's apartment, he emerged and began swinging a tactical knife, striking one of the officers in the face and arm, causing the two to fall through a locked hallway door. Police were eventually able to take the suspect into custody without additional injury to other officers. Medics took the officer to the medical center where he was treated and released, and the suspect was booked on suspicion of 3 counts of assault with a deadly weapon.
Any reason for wrapping the meat around the doorknob?
I don't know. Yeah. I do not know. And there you go. That's what I have in the Bizarre File. Let's take a quick break. Come back in a second. Lesson questions coming up next. If you've been paying attention this morning, we will certainly find out. We'll also get trash and music news. Stay with us.
What are you doing here?
The one thing we know how to do. MMR rocks.
I thought today was Wednesday for the longest time.
I was under that impression as well, Steve. And that's it's kind of cool when that happens.
Oh, yeah. It's better this way.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to give away this trip for four to the WB Shazam in Los Angeles in Hollywood. So that'll be coming up in just a little while. Oh, my goodness. We got one more of these to do.
It's time for Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness.
I want to thank our imaging production dude, guru, if you will. We call him Shoes, and he's the one that created this piece of audio that play for these matchups for our little event that we're doing. And I love this. So we have one more for you to go today in Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness. One more video for you to vote on. This time in the Gadzooks region, the two videos facing off against each other are Kathy's sexy traffic voice against Preston almost named his daughter Tussie Bibbs.
There was somebody very passionate about Tussie Bibbs I saw.
Yeah, somebody said that they would literally crap themselves if Tussie Bibbs doesn't win at all. So just to remind you, and you can go to WMMR.com and you can see the full videos and then vote on them, which I recommend you do. But just to refresh your memory, I'll play a short clip of each one of these videos. This is Kathy's sexy traffic voice. Here we go.
Take you upstairs and not do anything to you.
Ew!
I'm going to take you upstairs and leave you fully clothed and go to sleep.
Not before I clean up a little bit.
I'm going to lay down. Before you walk into the room, I'm going to lay down a sort of a tarp to run and walk to the bed so you don't leave footprints in the carpet.
Kathy had started off a traffic break in a kind of a voice like this.
You forgot to do traffic.
And it led to Steve in a very sexy bedroom scene with Kathy and what it would really be like.
Well, you called her. I said, well, that was sexy. And then Kathy, of course, she goes, ew!
Ew! And then it led to that. All right, that's going to be facing off against Tussie Bibbs. Here's a clip from that moment.
If there was a rhyming scheme that led to something that was dirty, you'd want to stay away from that.
Like, you wouldn't name her Tussie.
That was with a T.
Tussie? Where did you get Tussie?
It's about naming a child that has a rhyming name with something that you wouldn't want to happen. And so, Tussie Bibbs eventually is what that led to. So vote for these videos. Vote for them. Let's find out what the champion is in a few weeks from now. It is Preston Steve's Daily Rush Madness, and all the information at WMMR.com. As soon as you sign on, you'll see it. All right, we're going to do today's lesson question, and we are going to give away a pair of tickets to see Nick Offerman. He's going to be performing at the Met on November 2nd. And here's the question. I even said earlier probably what it would be. Name one of the two characters from Steve's description of modern day soap operas. And in fact, there were four of them.
Yeah.
But let's name one of them. 215-263-WMMR. Name one of the characters from Steve's description of modern day soap operas. If you're listening, you know the answer. You should call right now. Let's see if you know. And we're going to do the trash while you are calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by the AC Beer and Music Fest. Listen up, craft beer lovers, foodies, and fans of Atlantic City and the Beer and Music Festival. The AC Beer Music Fest is hosting the first ever Atlantic City Beer Week, the 25th through the 31st of this month. Visit acbeerfest.com for more information. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Jenny McCarthy revealing in a tell-all book about The View that Barbara Walters and Whoopi Goldberg waged a constant battle backstage. McCarthy, who spent just a year on the show, says that both sides would constantly blame the other for their paint-peeling farts.
Oh, my God.
77-year-old Robert Kraft's legal team working overtime to make sure video footage of him being serviced in a Florida massage parlor is never seen. Kraft's lead attorney is making the case that the video is actually a snuff film because Kraft's penis is dead.
Oh, my God.
The Cash Me Outside girl, Daniel Bergoli, celebrating her 16th birthday and improbable hip-hop career as Bad Baby by buying herself a $30,000 Rolex watch. Bergoli says the watch is so beautiful that she's actually considering learning to tell time. That's your Hollywood track.
All right, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to this question. Name one of the characters from Steve's description of modern-day soap opera. 215-263-WMMR is the number. And I will go to, let me see here. Yeah, let's go to Gus and see if we can get it. Hey, Gus, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Gus, do you know one of the characters from Steve's description of modern-day soap operas?
Yeah, it's Lance Cliffface.
Rance Cliffface, yes, yeah. Correct. Yes, he got it. Lance Rance. Hang on a second, Gus. Correct answer is going to get you a pair of tickets to see Nick Offerman at the Met on November 2nd. Tickets are on sale tomorrow at noon via Ticketmaster.com and the Met Philly. The other names besides Rance Cliffface were Dr. Jake Brick, Chip Granite, and Nunzio Rock. So those are your soap opera names. Let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
Brought to you by Dunkin'. Fuel your day with iced coffee from Dunkin'. Dunkin' now has $2 medium iced coffees all day long. America runs on Dunkin', excludes cold brew. Participation may vary, and it is a limited time offer. All right, so 21 Pilots, Bring Me the Horizon, Chevelle, and The Strokes are among the artists confirmed on Wednesday for this year's edition of Lollapalooza Festival. And that is scheduled to take place from August 1st through the 4th at Grant Park in Chicago. Some 181 acts were announced, with daily lineups to be unveiled later. Also among the artists confirmed to perform are Slash, Death Cab for Cutie, Perry Farrell's Kind Heaven Orchestra, The Revivalist, Tenacious D, Ariana Grande, Childish Gambino, Kacey Musgraves, Hozier, and the Chainsmokers, just to name a few. That's a hell of a lineup. That beats the crap out of Woodstock, I think, personally. But you
I mean, these shows are so jammed.
Yeah, but I mean, they changed it. They've made it. You know, it's had a home in Chicago for several years now. And since they've made it a multi-day event, and they have, I don't know, Marissa, you've been there. How many stages they have going on at any given time? Four or five or something like that?
Oh, God. There's always two main stages that are going on. So there's always two acts. Usually, like, the hip-hop and the rock act will be at the same time. But there's probably four to six stages plus, like, two tents at the same time, too. It's it's my favorite festival.
Okay.
Really? Yeah. And you know what? They usually stagger their times a little bit. So, like, if you have basically two headliners going on at the same time, you'll at least be able to check out a little bit of each of them. Yeah, of both.
Okay. 4-day passes are on sale now at Lollapalooza.com. $340 for 4-day passes. That's not too bad. I've seen much, much worse. 1-day ticket going for $130. They're not yet available. But, you know, for that many bands, you know, that's not a bad price.
Honestly, and if you're going to go do something like that, and if you're going to pull together the money for that, try to pull together the money for the VIP or whatever level above so you can get access to bathrooms.
Yeah, exactly. Or you can go to the MMRBQ for like $30.
Yeah.
How about that?
And hang with us.
Metallica fans have taken to Twitter to express their outrage after the pre-sale for the band's upcoming S&M2 show with the San Francisco Symphony. It ended within seconds due to bots grabbing up all the available tickets.
Bots!
Not cool. Members of Metallica, of Metallica's fan club were supposed to be given the opportunity to buy tickets a few days early, but it was reported that the tickets began showing up instantly at StubHub before fans had a chance to view their pre-sale opportunity. Listen to this. Fans reported signing in at exactly 9 a.m. Pacific time and being unable to purchase a single ticket. While tickets went on sale at StubHub via resellers at prices ranging from $300 to $16,000 for one ticket.
$16,000.
How is this?
For a goddamn ticket.
How is this still legal? I still don't understand.
This is obviously something that is this is not right, and this is something that needs to be investigated. How can, through the use of bots, can you completely block out an entire fan base? What do robots want to see music for?
I still don't understand StubHub and how you're allowed to charge that much for a ticket. I still don't get it. People have tried to explain it to me. It happens all the time with music, with sports, whatever it may be. It's garbage. It's scalping. It's scalping what used to be illegal. I don't understand. The one-off September 6th event will see Metallica join forces with the orchestra for the first time in two decades for the opening of San Francisco's new Chase Center.
You know what pisses me off? That's when you show up at an event and they start wheeling up to you with their bleeping lights and their claws.
Yeah.
Tickets for the show. Tickets for the show.
And they're
tickets
almost
for the show.
Always taller than you, too.
Absolutely. And they're intimidating with their laser guns and their tracking devices.
In front of you at the show.
Tickets for the show. Yeah. Tickets for the show.
So is StubHub the one that's creating these bots?
I don't know.
I heard they came from a ship that crashed in the Mojave Desert.
Oh. Right.
Concert bots.
With their, what'd you say they have? Their
claws.
Their claws.
Metallic claws that click. They make that intimidating clicking sound.
Everything about it is just
scary.
Scary. I agree. That's exactly the word.
And then they all run on, like, tank treads.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Tickets to the show.
They ride around on tape.
They're clicking claws. You know, well, of course. It may not. You may just be walking by and you're so scared assless that you're.
Yeah, I
love Yanni.
Yeah. I'll buy him.
Tickets to Yanni.
Sure. And you can see in the screen that's on front of them that you're in their crosshairs
on their
heat-seeking.
So of course you're going to buy.
Of course you want to go home to your family.
You
want to
be vaporized?
By these concert bots?
Uh-uh. Blink-182's commercial breakthrough album, Enema of the State, turns 20 years old this June, and the trio intends to perform the LP in its entirety to celebrate. Asked by a fan on Twitter if the group had any anniversary plans for the record, bassist Mark Hoppus replied, yes, I think we're going to play the whole thing in its entirety at Back to the Beach to celebrate 20 years. Back to the Beach is a two-day festival taking place in Huntington Beach on April 27th and 28th, and it is co-presented by Travis Barker, and so far is the only confirmed date at which Blink will run through Enema of the State front to back. That was their third studio LP, by the way. Came out in 1989 and marked the debut of Travis as the drummer, following departure of original member Scott Rayner. It sold 15 million copies
wow,
worldwide and generated the massive hit singles What's My Age Again, All the Small Things, and Adam's Song. I remember when that came out. Man, it took over.
It did.
You know, they were short, poppy, cool punk songs, and they just really took off into the stratosphere. Stone Temple Pilots singer Jeff Gutt has revealed that the band is working on an acoustic record. Gutt explained that the disc will feature some extra musicians and some extra parts and pieces and will be recorded later in the year. I said, I'm not sure how long it's going to be yet. We're just getting into it, the writing of it, and we're going to be recording it here in little spurts and when we can, and it's going to be awesome, and it's going to be totally different, a different side of Stone Temple Pilots. So an acoustic record from those guys could be coming out. And then one last story. We'll end with this one. Priscilla Presley.
That's right.
Reportedly wants to be buried next to her ex-husband, Elvis, on the grounds of Graceland. Priscilla, who's now 73, divorced Elvis in 1973, 4 years before his death in 1977.
That's Priscilla, man. I love her, man.
She remains active in Elvis Presley Enterprises, of which her daughter, Lisa Marie, remains a 15% owner.
I got to tell you something, Priscilla. What's First that? Time I saw her, man, I said, man, that is the hottest 9-year-old I've ever seen. I was overseas. I was in a base in Germany, you know?
That's right, yeah.
And in walks this little girl. Yeah. And I say little girl because she was little. She was like 3 feet tall.
Oh, my God.
And I remember she said, but she acted like a 10-year-old.
Priscilla served as a producer on last year's critically acclaimed Elvis documentary, The Searcher. An inside source.
If I were her, honestly, and I don't mean this as any disrespect to Elvis, I think she should be buried next to Leslie Nielsen.
Oh, yeah. Well, they were Nick and Gunn together.
Yes, they were.
She was pretty damn awesome. The whole Nice Beaver scene
exactly
is with her, so why not? But an inside source, Priscilla, still thinks of herself as Elvis's widow, and her rightful resting place is next to him. She wants an elaborate funeral ceremony at Graceland. She wants to be surrounded by photos of her and Elvis in happier times and for his music to play as they lay her to rest.
Well, that's kind of wild because, you know, towards it wasn't that was abusive or they started to grow apart.
Yeah.
And then she had an affair with one of his Memphis mafia guys.
Yeah. Well, he was banging everything that walked for crying
out loud. I'm totally afraid, man.
Elvis is buried on the side of Graceland Mansion in Memphis, also interred at the Meditation Garden.
That's what I had inside of me. It was compacted, a turd.
It was an interred.
Just stayed inside there, man, wouldn't come out. And a hemorrhage. It was an interred. That's what you're talking about, right, man?
Well, sure. For you, Elvis, anything.
It was white.
Also,
that turd was white, man. You don't see that.
Also interred in the Meditation Garden.
That's what I said.
Which is open.
It's an interred.
It's like an ingrown toenail.
That's right, man.
Like that.
It's like an ingrown hair.
Yeah.
Interred.
The Meditation Garden is open to the public. Also interred are Elvis's parents.
Interred, right. That's what I had. Well, she and that eye.
Should I stop saying that?
What does it mean? What can you switch it with?
Buried? Yeah, buried.
Okay, buried.
Oh, no, I got you.
All right. Also buried
yeah,
in...
Yeah, bury me because I had an interred.
What you got in there?
It's one of them interred. It's like an Indian and Audi. You ever see that, man? Some people got a belly button that points out. Some people have turds that stay in.
I'm sorry. Oh. My laughs are mainly silent today because I feel lousy. I have a headache.
You still have a migraine?
Oh, here, let me give you some acid control pills for that, bro.
Anyway, let me get through this.
All right.
Also buried there are Elvis's parents, Vernon and Gladys.
And his twin, along, right?
No, there is a plaque placed at Graceland for Elvis's stillborn twin, Jesse Garon. He was buried in an unmarked grave in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Oh.
But there is a plaque that's there. His grandmother is there as well, Minnie Mae Presley, his paternal grandmother. The report claims that Cilla has been dealing with her mortality since undergoing surgery last summer for potential skin cancer on her face.
Ooh.
The insider said she has become a great deal more focused since surgery. She wants to get her affairs in order and reestablish the family bonds that she feels defined her.
She's always a beautiful woman.
Very much so.
And yeah. I thought actually more beautiful as she got older.
And that means showing the world that she and Elvis will carry an unbreakable bond for all eternity.
Her man.
That's what she wants.
All her, right. Me, and my turd.
And that's what I have in
my mind. My turd.
That's your in. That's what I have in the Bizarre File for you. All right, no, it's not the Bizarre File. It's music news. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Alexa.
Amazon's voice-activated personal assistant, Alexa, will take you right to MMR's brand new skill. It's the easiest way to open the station live stream and our audio on demand. Simply say, Alexa, open MMR.
A couple of thank yous and a couple of reminders. I want to thank Coach Fran Dunphy for being on our show this morning.
Yeah.
Class act. Officially retired as head coach for Temple basketball, men's basketball, but he's going to remain. He's going to be teaching, and I think he'll be doing some consulting as well. Should anybody need some advice from him, he's certainly a great guy to go to.
You have that wealth of knowledge on campus; you'd be an idiot not to take advantage of it.
Super nice guy, so we wish him the best, and I'm sure we'll talk to him again sometime in the near future. Also, thank you to Adam Booth, the co-captain of Sons of Ben. We are officially honorary members of Sons of Ben. We've been re-registered
yes.
as honorary members. So, but they got a game on Saturday, and it looks like it's going to be weather-wise, it's going to cooperate nicely, and they're playing Columbus. Tickets are available for only $25. You can be a part of the Sons of Ben tailgate party and sit in the river and with those guys, and it's nuts.
It really is, honestly.
It's a lot of fun, so we thank them for coming by. And I want to remind you of today's matchups in round one. Actually, it's the first five rounds of our Daily Rush Madness. We've taken our Daily Rush videos and we've grabbed the 64 that we think need to compete with each other. And we now have them being voted upon. You can vote for the rest of the day. And it's when we try. The matchups were Sir Strawming versus Bill Weston Two-Face. Mm-hmm. Caitlyn Jenner's dinner party versus me making up the number Faye. Regis wants to bang your fillings out versus Lindsay Lohan's chicken finger party. Wigapalooza against FDR's knock knock jokes and Kathy's sexy traffic voice versus me almost naming my daughter Tussie Bips. So those videos are available now. And you may remember little chunks of each of those segments. But the whole videos are available for viewing, and I think you want to do that because you may have forgotten there are like two or three moments in each one of these that will add to the likability of them.
That's sage advice because a lot of times the crescendo for the bit will come literally in the last 6 seconds of it. So,
yeah.
But when it frames it with the entire segment, some of them are like a minute and a half and some of them are 4 or 5 minutes.
Daily Rush videos brought to you by Punchline Philly, and also you can find the weekly Rush videos on Xfinity Live, or not Xfinity Live, that's where we go to do the Camp Out for Hunger, but it's on Xfinity. So anyhow, that's day number one.
Yeah.
We got 3 weeks of this we're going to do, so we're excited. And we'll give you the results tomorrow of those particular brackets and see how they shape up. Pierre Robert is here. Hey, man.
Good day.
How you doing today?
Fine, thank you.
How many fingers am I holding up?
Seven.
Okay, very good. I held up three. That's close.
And Steve, yeah. I wanted to say,
he's looking better. Right at me.
Steve, you
never
look
better.
Looks different about you, but you look good. And Preston over there, you're looking good too.
So the good news, if I understand correctly, no detached retina.
I forgot the thing, the technical description of what I have. But there's this gel that goes all the way around the eye, around the inside of the eye, and then sometimes it can get loose in the back.
Right.
So it's a detached something. I think it is.
Interred, I think it's called.
Interred. I think it is a detached retina, but it's not torn. And it's given me a giant floaty, which... Well, Kathy, you know it. You've talked about it.
Yeah, you know, I don't think... I think when your retina detaches is when you lose sight. So I don't think your retina is detached.
Oh.
But maybe the gel is loose behind it or whatever that is. But I don't think it's the retina.
Okay.
Well, you're just having to let it mend naturally, correct?
Right. It.
Or are you doing IOPS?
Yeah. I do 7 IOPS and then some pull eyes.
pull eyes.
All right, so we have here.
No,
we
actually... that's it. Vitreous. There's something vitreous.
Vitreous okay. Detachment.
Yeah. Thank you, whoever pulled that up.
Yeah.
Substance that fills the inside of the eye. The retina is a light sensitive area in the back of the eye. That's it. A vitreous detachment is also known as a posterior vitreous detachment, which is what I have.
And that can kind of repair itself? Is that what they told you?
Yes, if it wasn't torn. So I had to go to my regular doctors over at Bala Eye Care, and then they said, all right, well, it may be torn, but we can't see. You've got to go to Will's Eye Hospital.
Which is one, if not the best in the country.
Yeah. And there's a little satellite office right down the street, interestingly enough, which is very cool. And nice folks over there, including a lady named Paget who works behind the desk who says, say hello to Casey. I went to school with him.
Yeah, I graduated with Paget.
Yeah, very nice lady.
I don't know what her married name is now, but... Does not matter.
Trissy Bips.
Anyway, so then this other doctor came in and he redilated me and then did all these things. He goes, no, it's not torn. I said, so what do I do with this little piece of hair that's in the middle of my eye that's continually floating around? Because that's what it feels like, a piece. I thought it was hair in my eye
right.
when I first noticed this.
We've all had that where there's, and you can sort of see the image of it because it's obviously on your eyeball. And it's just annoying because it'll kind of move around and come into the middle of your eye. And that's what you have?
Well, even since when I was a kid, I had the little tiny kind of clear ones.
Like microbes almost or something like that.
You could see them kind of out of the corner of your eye if you kind of focus and if you move.
Yeah.
And then you don't pay any attention to them. And I think we all have those to a certain degree.
Yep.
This is a big, thick one. It's a big, thick... piece of hair and a cobweb right in the center of my eye.
Well, there's an illustration of it up here, Pierre, on the screen here, and it shows the eye, and there's the vitreous is obviously this sort of middle meat,
oh,
I guess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's detached. The gentleman said, well...
it's like a membrane is what it looks like.
One of the doctors said, well, when you're younger, these things stay together really well. And as we age, something, and I began to feel like a 65 Chevy Impala. It's just like, because, I take very good care of the Impala, and yet every so often,
it blows a gasket.
It blows a gasket. And so... apparently, I let it heal on its own, but if it had been torn, which I had to take yesterday off, then they would have had to do a laser fixing in the office.
How's your vision right now? Do you still see it?
Oh yeah, yeah.
You still see the thing?
It's my right eye, and if I close my left eye, I just see cobwebs and sugar plum fairies.
All right,
that's really no different than any other day.
Other day.
All right. Well,
I feel dilated.
Pancake will show you around the studio.
No, he will.
And he'll be all right.
But by the way, what you guys did with Bill was so brutal and so priceless and precious. and then the idea of giving him a grade at the end. Oh my god!
Little turnabout on Mr. Russell.
I love it.
Fun though. All right. Well, he gave us a letter yesterday. Are you aware of?
I am.
What the letters are. All right, let's do this.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter...
R as in retina.
We got one more to go. We got a trip for four to give away the premiere of WB Shazam Thursday, March 28th, TLC, Chinese Theater in Los Angeles. And Shazam hits theaters April 5th. Pierre, before I ask you what you have coming up on your show, I do want to mention that we announced a Painfully Single Mixer yesterday, and I haven't mentioned that today. It's coming up April 4th, 6 to 9 p.m. at the Great American Pub in Conshohocken, presented by Miller Lite. And if you're interested in going, what you need to do is get in touch with us. You can go through to WMMR.com and click on the contest page, and you'll find it right there, and we're taking entries that way. We will alert you if you are invited or not. So go ahead and do them. We're just going to randomly grab a bunch of people.
First we've done in a while, so we're looking forward to it.
$3 Miller Lite specials, music by DJ Huck Spinna, and prizes, like I said, from Miller Lite. Light beer from Miller, everything that you've always wanted in a beer with more taste and less carbs. So go ahead and have at it. What's up on the show today, sir?
We'll have more tickets for the Black Keys coming October 14th, going on sale tomorrow. We will have workforce blocks of Dorothy and Live and a juicy block of Tool.
Ah, yes.
Juicy. It's going to be juicy.
I love it. I want to thank our sponsors. President Steve Show brought to you today by the AC Beer and Music Festival. AC Beer Week is March 25th through the 31st. ACBeerFest.com for information. Also brought to you by Mealy's Furniture, just what you're looking for. And Timothy Off-Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Right now, you can save $30 on any repair. Tomorrow, wrapping up the week, a couple of comedians stopping by. We have Roy Wood Jr. in studio, and Tony Hinchcliffe will be stopping by as well. So we'll spend some time with them. We'll do more of the Daily Rush Madness.
Yes.
And everything we have to give away, we'll give away. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
Preston and Steve, love you, hate you, live.
You know, there's a reason I'm parking all the way at the very end with no other cars around. But when, for some unknown reason, with a parking lot that's plenty of other spaces, you feel the need to park next to my car, you can go eat a whole bag of...
Next message.
If Oasis had a sister named Lynn, they would be Lynn, Noel, Liam, right? Linoleum.
Next message.
My girlfriend's having an up day, and I just want to get her some a new one! It's a mile long! Son of a bitch!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less!
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.